Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm listening to the intro and that rich voice, which is me. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. Welcome to the show. Excuse my voice for a little bit. We're on Monday through Friday. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. Today I want to talk to you about nurses. Damn, I miss my voice. I really do. Today I want to talk to you about nurses. These are like the unsung heroes. I never knew what kind of hero they were until you have an encounter with a nurse. And I don't care what kind of nurse they are. An ER nurse, head nurse, nurse practitioner, whatever, technician, whatever. I've been gone for a minute, but I'm back now. And people wondering where I was. I took a little sabbatical. I guess you'll call it that. But I had a little procedure done. My voice is not the same right now. And I'm hoping that my voice will come back. That's the truth. But as long as you can hear me, as long as you're going to hear what I say, it's like the first time you're hearing my voice. But I do want to talk about nurses. I really do. And as the show goes on, if I know who I am, I'm a fighter. By the time in the middle of the show, you won't even notice my voice being soft. You will hear me come through, I promise you. You will hear it. I promise. If you had any encounter with a nurse recently, I don't care if it's a nurse who takes care of a home, one of these home hospice nurse. I don't care what kind of nurse she is. She's a nurse. I want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now, too. I'll talk about that, too. You know? The number you can reach me is 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That's the number you can reach me. That's the number you can come into the studio. That's the number that'll get you on the air. And we still got the numbers. I'm surprised. In fact, the numbers are big. Maybe people were curious about where I was, where I've been. That's what we're going to do. We're going to open a show with something different. Something strange. I'm not an emotional guy. As you can tell if you listen to the show, the past shows, we make fun of things that we should not make fun of. And I guess that's our way to dealing with things and to put things out there. Recently, there was something happened in California. You can read about it. I could pull it up. But it's so ridiculous, but it's so horrific. And I look at the horrific things. I tell you, if you keep listening to the show, in the middle of the show, towards the end of the show, I guarantee you will not notice the difference in my voice to you. It'll be like, hey, it's normal. I guarantee you it'll be like magic. Because I'm going to push. And that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do in life. We got to push. And we got to fight. I learned that the hard way. But something strange happened in California. I don't know if it's going to be in the news, but let me just give you the nasty, I guess, the 411. Is it around? I wanted to see the headline. Okay, bottom line. This asshole goes into this dance place. You might have heard about it. I'm just going to give it my point of view, okay? You can read the article yourself. So he shoots up the joint. He shoots it up. What asshole goes to a ballroom dancing and shoots up the joint? I mean, come on. I mean, he could have got a refund or what the hell? He didn't learn the steps. I don't know what's in this guy's head. I don't know. I have no idea. You just don't know what's in people's heads, man. You don't know. He goes in there. He wakes up. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Takes a rifle. Do-do-do-do-do. I think I'm going to shoot up the joint. Now, this is not just your regular joint. No. These are old people dancing. Ballroom dancing. Now, how did ballroom dancing get so violent? When did that go into the hood? I mean, when did that go into the hood? Who goes in for ballroom dancing in Inglewood and straight out of Compton into the ballroom? That doesn't happen. Who does that? This guy does. Now he goes in. You can read the article. I'm just giving you my side of it. So this guy does. He picks up a gun. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, nobody noticed the guy's walking down the street with a gun. And then he goes in. Nobody knows he goes into the ballroom. How old are these people? And you hear it on CNN, and you hear it on the news. Well, the people who frequent these ballrooms are like 50, 60, 70 years old. I don't give a fuck. So he goes in. And there must be old people dancing. How do old people dancing? I mean, isn't it hard enough for them to stand up? What, do they got their walkers, and then they do the is that a two-line walk now? It's a Texas two dance? I don't know. What do you do? So he goes in there. You got old people dancing. Who knew they were dancing or walking around? He must have been pissed off at the Foxtrot. So he goes in, and he shoots up the place. He kills 10 people. He wounds another 10. That's the last count I had. Now check this out. So this is so everybody wants to be the first to report the fucking news, right? Everybody wants to be the first. CNN, Fox, all these things. They want to be the fucking first to report the fucking news. Let's report the news. I can imagine you're on a news desk. We're going to lead with Donald Trump. Nope. So then you hear the lady at the news desk. What's that in my ear? We got somebody shooting up the fucking ballroom. What? Old people? What? And they jump on it. We got to let the people know, but we don't have that much information. Who cares? Who give a shit? Give it to the headlines and let them listen to the station as it unfolds. That's how it works, folks. If it bleeds, it leads. So here I am watching Jeopardy. Boom. Breaking news. Dude shoots up a ballroom. What the fuck are you shooting up a ballroom for? And there's old people dancing. Old people dancing? That should be the lead. What the old people doing when they're dancing? Who dances? I'm just thinking that they're leaning on each other and somebody put some music on it and it looks like they're dancing. you know, they're just trying to stop from falling down or something. I don't know. So now you got fucking old people that go, old people dancing. I'm up here eating my pita pocket. By the way, I don't know what they put in the pita pocket. There was something going on with the pita pocket. There's a mystery going on with the pita pocket. Don't you, oh, wait a minute, you know me, if you listen to the show. What is it, hot pocket? There's something going on with that hot pocket, because that hot pocket doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem like the hot pocket that I used to know. And I know I'm going off of the thing, but look, man, something's going on with the hot pocket. I'm going to put in hot pocket here to see what's going on with the hot pocket, because I know something's going on with the hot, because to me, the hot pockets was bothering me. I'm saying, what's going on with the hot pockets? I'm just putting in the news to see is something going on with the hot pocket, because I know there is. Here it is, hot pockets made with actual hot pockets. Nope. Let me see, hot pockets. Here it is, Michelle Janarvis gets prison time for college admission. What? How do you be the president of the Hot Pockets and you go to prison for college admission scandal? What the hell is going on? Do you have the Hot Pockets? There's something wrong with my Hot Pockets. I'm going to get to the bottom of the Hot. Oh, here it is. Oh, check it out. With a little bit of Sammy School. Where's my Sammy School? She's the one who, she's a detective and she can get to the bottom of this. Listen to this scandal. I knew I was right about the Hot Pocket. Here it is. There's a Hot Pocket recall over glass and plastic inside. There was glass and plastic inside my Hot Pocket? Read it. It's true. Read about the Hot Pocket recall. They put glass and plastic inside my Hot Pocket. I wonder if it tastes a little better. What's a little tart? It's true. I'm not going to go into the Hot Pocket scandal, but read it. Google it. Hot Pockets recall over glass and plastic inside. I can't get the story because I'm supposed to click on something, and I'm not clicking on it. Well, I guess I did. But I'm not going to go down there. So now I found out what's going on with my Hot Pocket, right? Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. Maybe I can hear it. Here we go. Let me see. I'm not getting anything. This is what happened when I go live and shit doesn't work right. It says my video will start in 7 seconds, and it stayed on 7 seconds. We're at 10 seconds already. Fuckers. It's a scandal here. I know it is. It's Q. Ever since I had a fight with QAnon, they've been after me. I've been after them. I'm not paranoid. I'm going to kick Q's ass. That's what I'm going to do. All right, here we go.
This 3 years, no interest.
All right, this is a commercial, but I got to hear what's going on with my...
Do you have pepperoni hot pockets in your freezer? You need to check the packaging. Nestle has issued a massive recall because they may have pieces of glass and plastic inside. This recall applies to 12 packs of pepperoni hot pockets for the best 5 days of February 2022. Nestle discovered the problem after 4 people called about glass and plastic in their Hot Pockets. The USDA says one person reported a, quote, minor injury. If you have this product, just throw it away or return it to the store where you bought it.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. They're not getting away with that. They're not getting away with that Hot Pocket. Where's the Hot Pocket people? If we still have time on the show, I'm calling the Hot Pocket people. You're not getting away with that shit. Anyway, I was enjoying my Hot Pocket made of glass and plastic. Just enjoying it. It was quiet. Then I hear on the news, some asshole shooting up the place. I go, where's he shooting? I mean, what's going on? It was an Asian ballroom thing, dancing thing. Right away, here you go with the liberals. As soon as they said that, then you get, let's bring in the Asian liberals. You know, but what's funny, see, I have a sick sense of humor. There's another person that I love, Melissa. She doesn't have the same sick sense of humor. I think she laughs at me saying, I can't believe you go there. And maybe she feels guilty that maybe she's laughing at me that I actually say shit, that I shouldn't say shit. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. So now I got to go, because the guy's name is really funny. The guy's name is really funny. The guy who shot up the place, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So anyway, right away the Asian anchor comes on or something, or some customer comes on, and she says, okay, here's what's going on now. They don't even call it the Asian community. You got initials, AAP or AAI or whatever. They get initials. They just call us niggas. Easy to remember. Yeah. I told you. Keep listening. My voice is going to get stronger. Pretty soon you won't realize how weak my voice really is. I'm almost there. Going back to the story. So she comes on right away with the liberal. See, I'm a Democrat, but I don't like the way these Democrats, I don't like the Z Democrats, the Zers, whatever, millennials, the Zs. I don't like them. They are not us. Right away. Well, you know, these Asian hate crimes go out the thing, and we got to do the Asian hate crimes right away. Hate crimes right away. Hate crimes right away. Mind you, they don't know who did it, but right away. These hate crimes. We got to stop the hate. Stop the hate. Well, right now, I'm hating you. You're not helping. I didn't even know you when you first came on my TV. Now I hate you. You're not helping the situation. Get the fuck off my TV. This is what I'm thinking. I'm going crazy by myself. I'm yelling in my head. Get the fuck off my TV right now. I was going to order Chinese food, but guess what? I'm not going to do it. Thanks to you. You see what I mean by inappropriate? It's, you know what I'm saying? Just lost my Chinese audience. Oh, people. Good morning, Melissa.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, darling. Good to see you.
How
602, you? I'm hope. Is this King? Or
hey,
602?
What's going on, Brian? Good morning.
It's King.
Hey, the crew, Melissa and King in the studio, everybody.
Hey, good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, King.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Doing, hey,
I'm
welcome.
Trying. How am I doing so far?
Perfect.
You're doing good, man. We missed you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. One of the things that I have to tell people is sometimes I will go off the rails. You know, we do this anyway. I just did it with my Hot Pocket.
Not you. No, you don't.
I know. Thank you. Did you guys hear the story? Did you guys hear the story about the guy shooting up the ballroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm still there, right? I'm going, and I didn't know this woman. And then I'm hearing automatically hate. Then after her, I'm hearing gun control. Gun control? The gun didn't kill that woman, kill those people. But the gun jumped off the wall and said, you know what, I'm going to go fuck some people up. Gun didn't say that.
Yeah.
And no matter how much control do you need? I mean, what are you, this guy, and I saved it for the last. This guy was 78 years old. 72 or 74, in the late 70s.
The one that got shot, right?
The one that was shooting people was 70-something years old.
Oh, God, help me.
He was 70-something years old. I mean, that's
did they
a
kill
hood,
him?
Man. Huh?
Yeah. Did they kill him?
No, he killed himself.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But I
want
to really get
the. We've had a lot of shootings in the country over the weekend. We've had a
lot. 70 years old. I mean, come
on. He's a mad old man.
I know. Don't fuck with people in Kansas City or Phoenix. That's for you, King. We got old people here to kick your ass. They'll do a walk by. I mean, you
what
just
happened to California
don't.
In the... What in the Bay Area, what went on? Something went on in the Bay Area.
No, actually,
it?
It's by me. It's my.
Was it by you?
Yeah, it was by me.
Okay.
It was by me. It's Southern California. Now, I have an imagination. Sometimes my imagination go crazy. It's like, stop, imagination. Imagination won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here, and then they get a little further into the story. Now, but here's what gets to me. I can't get past my own immaturity. I can't get past my own fourth grade sense of humor. I can't get past that. Once I get past that fourth grade sense of humor and my own immaturity, I could hear the rest of the story. But I can't get past it. And it wasn't my fault because they said the guy's name. They shouldn't have said the guy's name. I was there. I was in the store. I'm going, don't fuck with these people in their 70s, man. They're carrying weapons. So his name happened to be, I'm trying to pull up the story. Melissa, pull up the story, please, and read me the guy's name because I want you to say it.
No,
70-something-year-old man shoots up.
Shooting, where was it?
It was in, oh, my God. Azusa, it was Azusa, Covina. It starts with an M.
What, okay, was it? You said it was in a ballroom.
Yeah. Just put in ballroom shooting.
Okay.
I got something. It'll come up. It'll come up.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me get this for you.
But you're not going to believe it when Melissa says the name.
Okay.
And I couldn't get past it.
All right. Oh. Okay. Was this in Monterey?
Monterey Park.
No.
Monterey Park. That's it.
Okay. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
When you find a guy's name, please read it.
Authorities identify 72-year-old man as suspected gunman in New Year mass shooting.
Right.
Okay, hold on. Oh, my God.
Wait till you hear the name.
Oh, my. Okay. Wu Han Tran. What?
Yeah. Say it again.
Wu, Huucan, Tran. What the?
Now, here's, and so,
hey, did you just
what he's
Asian.
No, you read the article. I didn't make it up. It's right there.
No.
It's right there.
I said, King, did you just pick that up? The name, Huucan, Tran.
Yeah, who did it?
Who
did it?
Wow.
So I couldn't get past this. My mind's going crazy. And so I could imagine somebody calling the police and says, hello, this is 911. Hello, I want to report a shooting. Yes, where's the shooting at? Well, it's here in Monterey Park. Okay, can you identify the shooter? Who? Huh? Who? The shooter. Yes. Can I identify the shooter? Who? Who is the shooter, ma'am? Yes, he is. And he's right here.
Who?
Yes. I had to go on and on and on. I couldn't get past that. I couldn't get past who.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ma'am, we're trying to get the shooter, yes? What does he look like? Well, he's 5'10", he's 70 years old.
Somebody worried that it was the shooting may have been motivated by anti-Chinese hate.
Exactly. They always went right to the racist bullshit, which it wasn't. Because you're going to find out later, had nothing to do with anything racial. So then I get fucked up more when we get more in the story. So I get past the fourth grade sense of humor, like, who did it? He did it. Who?
Yeah.
Yes, him. Where is he? He's over there. Who? Yes. I finally get past that, which was very exhausting to me. I think when I have a kid, I'm going to name him Who. Who? Who here? Yeah. I think I'm going to do it. I haven't named a kid What and When. But, okay, so I finally get past the fourth grade sense of humor. I get past it. Then they fuck me up again. So they said that he went to another place in Alhambra, which is close to me. It's where I get the best burritos. And he tried to shoot up the place. Here's what fucked me up. So two guys apparently took the rifle from who? Keep me on track. So they took the rifle from
track,
who?
Though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they took the rifle from who? Okay.
Who can
now,
Tran?
Yeah, who can Tran? He's on the move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what fucks
mm-hmm.
me up. The guy's 72 years old. How fast can he move? So apparently on the news it says these two guys, they took the rifle and they tried to apprehend the subject, but he got away. How did a 72-year-old man get away? What kind of chase is that? Can you imagine that chase? That must be the slowest chase in history. How is a 72? Well, I'm out of here. Catch him!
Uh-huh.
He's 70 fucking two. How does he get away? Now it's really mm-hmm. fucking me up. I'm going, what the hell? Just a second. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson with the Great King and the magnificent Melissa. 111, you're live on the air. Hello.
Who's on first?
Oh, my God. K-Tron, can you imagine, Sarge? Can you imagine the guy's name is who? And that call comes in?
Man, I ain't supposed to use this last year. Ain't that a kick?
I know, right? I missed you, dude.
Yeah, and you too, sis. I ain't spoke to you in a while either.
Hey, how you doing?
That's all good. Hey, man, look, first of all, understand something. Now, this guy's 72. Now,
right.
I don't know how he came to the United States, whether he's a natural-born citizen, whether he's an immigrant, whether he's naturalized. I don't know. I'm not saying.
Right.
But let's assume that he is either a lawful resident, illegal alien, lawful resident, naturalized citizen, whatever. He's here.
Yeah.
And he came from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, but in 1979... there was the Sino-Vietnamese War. The Chinese launched an attack against Vietnam, because it was all one country then, and about almost 7,000 Chinese were killed, and about 48,000 Vietnamese were killed. It was war. The Vietnamese and the Chinese have had a long history of fighting each other, far longer than Western power. So I'm not saying that his enmity was caused by any of that. If he was 72 years old, he would have been a military age back then.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Maybe he has some kind of resentment against Chinese because of that or any number of factors relating to Chinese-Vietnamese enmity. So it could be. But what I'm really fascinated by was when they called up and said there was a mass shooting going on and the guy's trying to say, but wait a minute, where's the white supremacist at? But where's the white supremacist at? That's what I mean. You can see these newspapers. They let off before they knew any facts with the anti-Asian.
That's my point. That's my point, Sarge.
And generated, of course, by white people, which we know it isn't even true anyway in the main. It's just astonishing the narratives these people just continually pick up with complete ignorance of what is actually going on. It's astonishing.
Sarge, 100% with you, because it says get the headline, get them, and let it unfold while we have their
never
attention.
Mind. Yeah, never mind.
Exactly.
Oh, I despise these people. Like you have no idea the extent to which I despise these people, and especially watching them in the World Economic Forum. You know, all these clowns in the World Economic Forum out there in Davos. You know, this self-selected elite patting themselves on the back, having been sent here by extraterrestrial forces to save the planet. Literally saying this idiot Terry. Literally saying things like this. It's beyond belief what we're witnessing in our country today.
And half the shit is wrong. And they tried to pin, first before they got all the information, they tried to pin it on, here we go with the racist thing. All right, here's the hate with the Chinese. It's hate, hate, hate. And then after they get rid of that, they can't back off and say, okay, we're wrong. They have to go a little further. We got to get rid of these guns. But we can't get rid of these guns. It's the Second Amendment. Then we need more control. How much control do you need? You're already doing background checks. You're already doing this. You're already doing this.
By the way, now,
that.
They didn't say it was an assault rifle. In fact, today the sheriff of Los Angeles County came up with a new term for me, a semi-automatic assault pistol. So it wasn't rife.
Yeah, that's
oh, wow.
yeah. That's what. That's yeah, that's
makes
what it was.
Now we got a new boogaboo. They go glom on that. I got a band
yep.
of assault pistols.
Right.
Assault pistol. Huh.
Assault pistol now.
No, semi-automatic assault pistol.
Oh, semi.
See, I
right.
thought, I read just that he had a long gun. That's what I read.
Yeah.
Well,
I
he might have had one in the van with
pistol.
Him, but according to the sheriff now, and again, I'm just going
yeah.
by what the sheriff said, that the weapon
yeah.
used in the killing was a semi-automatic assault pistol. You know,
yeah,
I got to look up.
You
know, in my long dealing with firearms, especially military firearms of all types, decades worth of experience, I never heard of such a thing. I'm going to have to go look
I've
back, go look at my all of my gunsmithing
yeah.
manuals and all the things they taught me in the armed forces and the police. I'm going to go look up what a semi-automatic assault pistol is, because I never heard of such a creature.
Well,
you know what? I never heard of it either. Of course, I don't know much about guns. I'll be honest with you. But that was new to me, too, you know?
Well, there are machine pistols now. I mean, they've been around since, I don't know, the early 20th century. Like the C-96 Mauser was an adaptation of a machine pistol, the Russian Stechkin, the Browning High Power was modified for that kind of purpose. So there have been a lot of guns modified to fire fully automatic. Of course, they're kind of impractical and really awfully hard to control, but they do
right.
have select fire capability, meaning they could be going from semi-automatic to automatic. Now, this sheriff can come up with something new, though.
Yeah, but
so,
I don't know.
I mean, but I'm always waiting to be educated. So maybe there's something I didn't know that maybe I'll learn now.
Same here. It's California. We're gonna put our own little phrase on it. You know that. But what I'm trying to think. 72 years old. He raises a rifle. Two men, by the way. I don't know how old these men. They must be 90. Took him down. They took him down, took his rifle. Then he goes, whoop, gotta go. How fast can a 72-year-old man get out of there? Whoop, here I go. You can't catch me.
Actually, it depends on the
really
I'm right around that age, and I can still run the 100-yard dash in about 11-something seconds. And
but
I can
catch
do 3
you.
Miles in about 28 minutes.
Well, actually, that's
so
pretty
it depends on what
good.
Kind of condition you're in.
That's pretty damn good. Actually,
it really does.
Good.
It depends on what kind of condition you're in. If you keep yourself in good shape, you can do it. If not,
and
then you got to
yeah.
remember, even older people get shots of adrenaline.
That's true. That guy go woo. He's like the robot.
Yeah, so,
runner.
I mean, I'm just saying. So don't say that he wouldn't be. I don't know if he's
okay.
capable of it or not.
You're
but
right.
To say that it's not possible. It depends.
Yeah. I see people 72 years old fucking Pornhub. I got the freebie.
Oh,
yeah, I know. So, you know, you gotta look at
David, all right. Keep going. Okay, he's okay. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. But go ahead.
Triggered.
No, Sarge.
Yeah.
I know he's triggered. He's fucking.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot to be. Look, here's the bottom line. Most of
right.
us don't have enough information to make any firm conclusions. It's like with anything else, when people have agendas, they want to inject their ideological inclinations into whatever the situation is to further their agendas, heedless of what the facts are. And, you know,
right.
having been a police officer and other things, you know, I tend to wait back until all the information's in, because usually I had to try to make a case, you know?
Right,
and I can't just go off
right.
and, you know, but these days, as abysmal as much of the journalism
right.
is today, they just
right.
jump to their conclusions like bullfrogs jumping out of a boiling pot. You know, we got him now.
Well, yeah,
you know?
you're right. And then they started quoting his ex-wife. Now, the last thing I want mm-hmm. when I go is to you interview my ex-girlfriends. I do not want that. So they go to his ex-wife. They've been married for a while. And she's saying that they've been married, I don't know, X amount of time, years, and that he never had a temper. Well, he had a temper, but he never raised his hand to her, and that he's a nice guy. Well, if he's such a nice guy, why don't you stay with him, you know, instead of divorcing the bastard? Shut up, you! Get off my TV! I hate people like that, you know what I mean? Oh, he's such a nice guy. I don't know why he did it. I mean, when we were married, it was rosy and paradise and everything. Shut up! Your divorce is stupid ass. You know, stop
yeah.
it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Just because he's dead. There, you ever notice that? When people are, you know, you could have a guy who's an asshole, right? Maybe he was a nice guy in the beginning, and then he was an asshole. Or maybe you married him, and then he's your ex-husband, right? Whatever happened, right? You hate the motherfucker. You sit there all the time thinking, how do I kill him and get away with this shit? That's what you do in your spare time. You look under arsenic and poison that don't smell. Okay, we're there. All of a sudden, he dies. But all of a sudden, he dies, right? Then all of a sudden, he was such a great guy. What is this? He was nice to my puppy. What the fuck? I want to hear somebody says, you know what? The asshole deserved to die. Eat dirt, motherfucker. I want to hear that. But why is it all of a sudden the guy's the nicest guy in the world because he's dead? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
He was a quiet neighbor. I had no idea that he ate gophers' heads. Oh, but he was a nice guy. He watered his plants. Shut up, you! He was a strange motherfucker!
Well, you know,
why
I'd really be curious to know if they're going to investigate as to whether or not there was any Vietnamese-Chinese enmity, because like I said, with them, it's historical.
No.
And it goes back
thousands
of years. Thousands of years. You know?
They want to close that case as quickly as possible. They do not want to put the spotlight on hate.
Yeah, there's no benefit in them. I mean, what is it? You know, it's
exactly.
Either the guy's nuts. It could be just the guy's nuts, right?
Well, the guy was nuts. He shot himself.
He just flipped, went off,
he
and
shot
went
himself?
After a bunch of people in a night, innocent
right.
people in a night. Just nuts.
Right. He shot himself. That's it. His ex-wife, if you have to go as far as his ex-wife, the guy don't have no friends. If you have to dig up an ex-wife, there's something wrong with this motherfucker. Can you imagine? I would go to King. Now, King is a rapper, and he's a quiet guy, family man. Love the man. I consider King my brother. But if they, and if King was passed or King's missing, and they have to go to King's ex-wife, I'm pretty sure we're going to hear a lot. I'm pretty sure we're going to hear a lot about King that we did not know. You know what I mean? Don't go to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Man.
That motherfucker. I don't think he was doing anything bad.
I know. Well, here's King's ex-wife, and here's what she has to say. That motherfucker!
Yeah.
I wrote that song, too, and he took all the credit for that song. Don't get caught in my whip. That was me! Don't go to your ex-wife to leave, you know, leave your final comments. What the hell are you doing?
Tell me, is anybody to know whether idiot, moron, corruptocrat in the White House said anything about this yet?
Was he
too busy trying to figure out what the hell is a paid liar, the Haitian woman? What to say about, you know, the documents he stole? Has he said anything yet?
No. I haven't watched.
No, he will. I'm sure he will. He'll say something idiotic.
No. I don't pay attention to him at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
Well, I'm waiting to see her. I'm just already anticipating the depth of the stupidity that his response will entail.
Yeah, I don't think any of us.
I mean, what can you? You know, these little vultures who kind of who try to capitalize on this bullshit. I got to agree with you. Sorry, they want this to go away. Now, if it was a black man or a white man, they will stretch this out to next year with this racism and stop the hate and CRT and woke, and they will stretch this thing out. But with the Asian community,
on everything I've done with all my studies, I think at least the disproportionate amount of anti-Asian hate is coming from black offenders.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I had a lot of time.
Especially going out there on the West Coast.
You know, And like I said, I am so glad to hear my friend Sarge and the Melissas and the Kings, man. You know, the morning crew. And I didn't think when I came up that I would see you guys. But I just wanted to come up. you know, I wanted to come up and I wanted to let, thank you, ma'am. I've had a situation and I got through it with my friends, Melissa's and the Dave and Kings and Laverne's and stuff. Laverne. Yeah, I did. I mentioned Laverne. And it's like, this is the first time I'm up, and it's been a month and a half? Has it been almost 2 months since I've been on the air? No, I'm serious.
I think December 5th.
Yes, it seems like it.
What? Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Yeah.
December, January, February. I've been in a coma. I was in a coma for 2 months.
Oh, yeah? Really?
You mean
a coma, a different coma than the one you're normally in?
A different one! Unfamiliar! Strange stuff.
By the way, CNN reported that this guy, despite his name sounding Vietnamese, is actually an immigrant from China. And they're also saying, now this, that...
Who?
He's a Chinese immigrant who was divorced. He gave informal dance lessons at the ballroom where the shooting occurred. They said that he frequented the dance hall, and that's where he met his ex-wife.
Who?
And,
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Who? Yeah.
Who went to the ballroom? Who's dancing?
And now there's a guy named Chester Chong, who's chairman of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce in Los Angeles, and he told ABC7 in an interview that he thinks the guy was angry at his wife. And this is what he said.
Right.
Quote, this hate is because of a wife and a husband, Chong said when asked if the mass the hate crime. He said he heard that information from friends who went dancing and singing in the area. Chong told ABC7 that those people told him that the husband was angry because he didn't want his wife to go to the dance hall, but she went anyway. Now, authorities have not yet confirmed this, but they said they're still trying to determine the motive. Now, again, of course, this guy, as he's in a position to know, he is elevated position being chairman of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce in Los Angeles. That's what he says, so who knows?
Huh. Well, I don't know what trigger people. You know, some of that dancing, who knows what's going on in that dancing thing, you know what I mean? That's a little intimate little thing. I mean, you're doing hip to hip. You're grinding a little bit. You know, you're looking into somebody's eyes. You're holding their hand. That's a seductive thing. Mm-hmm. They're not like they're doing the bump or they're, you know what I mean? They're just rubbing each other's crotches. It's a crotch massage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God.
They're not running in place. They're not doing the running man. No, only I would. I'll go to the running man. I'll do the robot, the running man. Look at that fool living in the 90s.
Oh, and another thing about this guy too that apparently come up in official sourcing, according to Los Angeles Times. This guy, Tron, showed up at the Hemet police station saying that his family was trying to poison him. CNN, Camilla Bernal reported, I talked to a witness here on the scene that told me that this is a popular dance club. People regularly come here on the weekends. We also know they were celebrating Chinese Lunar New Year. So as these celebrations were going on, these shots rang out. So,
who?
On first? Mm-hmm. Who's on first?
Yep.
I don't know.
He ran home.
Who did it? He ran home. Who got the gun? There he is. Don't get us started because if you get me and Melissa started with the names, oh my God, it's so inappropriate.
Yeah, I feel like Abbott and Costello with you, man.
I know. You have to laugh. Come on. It's inappropriate. But can you imagine that call? Sarge is in his car, and he goes, okay, you know, we got a call coming in. Sarge goes, yes, what's the call? Well, we have a disturbance in this ballroom, blah, blah, blah. Suspect may be armed. And Sarge goes, well, do you know the suspect identified himself? Yeah, the suspect is 5'2", blah, blah, blah. Do you know his name? Who? The suspect. Who? The suspect. Who? The suspect that I'm going to arrive there. Who? Can you imagine that conversation? The suspect name is who?
Yeah.
What? No, who? Can you imagine that conversation? Who trashed?
Yeah,
I couldn't get it out of my head for 5 minutes like a child. It was driving me insane, like a child.
Well, I think we got to hold off on these on this levity until these folks have at least had a chance to mourn their dead.
Yeah,
you think?
No kidding,
I agree.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It probably looked like all these families had been busted up and torn up, man. And, you know,
right.
They were celebrating Chinese Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some guy.
Them, and all crazy man comes in and starts blowing people away.
We don't know who it is, but he goes in there and blows people away. You know, it's like... I think maybe the ballroom, the dancing, I'm thinking about this. This dancing is almost like, you know, you swipe right, you swipe left, you meet people there, you know what I mean? When you get people at a certain age, let's say 45 and over or maybe 50 and over, they're not on these social media dating sites, these apps. So I'm thinking these ballroom dancing, some hidden things that people are meeting people, you know, like a date or something. It could be possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to take my first break. I'm going to get coffee. I hope you guys don't mind.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
There are certain people.
Sarge, do you want to keep talking, or do you want him to play music or something?
Oh, I'll play music.
But this, look, it's been since forever. We can ruminate on all sorts of events that have occurred since the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some special people.
I mean, you
people
see what's
listening.
Going on down here in Atlanta, man? You know, like,
I know.
You know, and I'm waiting for Merrick Garland to tell us more about start lecturing us about terrorism or something. You know, like the wild people who went into PTA meetings telling how pissed off they were that their children being taught transgenderism and critical race theory in school, and they were, you know, domestic terrorists. You know, according to these people in the unions trying to get Merrick Garland and make him into domestic terrorist, and they got the FBI task force looking into some of them. Well, now we got Antifa shooting it out with Georgia cops down here in Atlanta. One of them wounded a Georgia State Trooper. The Georgia State Trooper had to light him up and turn him in a, you know, compost right then, right there. And now they're mad that the cop defended himself. So they're going nuts and burning down things and saying, you can't kill us all, even though we probably kill enough of them. But, you know, maybe we don't need to kill them all, but maybe we need to kill enough of them. But anyway, I want to hear Merrick Garland lecture us about terrorism now. Come on,
okay.
Merrick.
We'll
come on
that.
Out. Tell us about terrorism
now. We'll get to that
now,
story because I do want to talk to you about it. But as I was saying before, there's some special people. When I was in the hospital, the nurse is saying, what do you do? And I'm saying, oh, shit. Oh, shit. And I knew if I said, I knew it. I said, oh, my God, because in my head I'm saying, if I said podcast, you know what's going to happen next. And some of the shows we did, you know what I mean? So they were trying to calm me down. So my girlfriend, Cindy, was there. They prayed for Cindy. They prayed to the Cindy God because I was unruly. Before I go into the hospital, I said, Cindy, please don't let them restrain me. That was my main fear, to be restrained. I don't want to be restrained. It freaks me the fuck out. I don't know what freaks you guys out, but to be restrained freaks me out. You know, maybe it's a claustrophobic thing. You know what I mean? So I said, I don't know. It's like handcuffs, Sarge. You know, some people could deal with it. Some people, when they hear that bracelet snap or something like this, it just snaps in their head or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if you have to tell them to relax. I don't know what you do. I'd never been arrested. So I'm pleading with her. It was this room. And I'm describing it because I'm describing what happened. And if you guys don't want to hear what happened, you don't give a fuck what happened, you want to hear the clown, if you want to hear the clown that says, you know, weird shit, then I don't know. Turn off your radio for 10 minutes. But I just, you know, I have this thing on their show for 10 years. If I can't say it, why am I going to ask you to say it? When we have guests on the show, Melissa knows this, and the regulars know this. I ask them really important personal question. How often do you mask? Blah, 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 blah. These are really personal questions. But if I can't.
Questions, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Oh, you should hear this, Sarge. You should hear the interviews. But if I'm asking these people to express their personal stuff, I also want to express my personal stuff. You know what I mean? So, So here I am in the room. People lied to me. Melissa lied to me. Laverne lied to me. King lied to me. The world lied to me. And what I mean by that, and they were loving, they're loving lies. What I mean by that is when they said, they're going to put you to sleep and you're going to go nighty-night. Oh, and I believed them. I believe Melissa. Melissa goes, you can go nighty-night. And you wake up, you'll be fine. Liar!
Hey,
I know
hey,
she did.
Brian, speaking of nurses, there's another nurse in the news today that had something happen to her that I think you'll find very interesting.
Oh, I want to hear it. So
she's
Melissa did it lovingly.
She's working in, let's see, where's she working at? She's living in Virginia and working as a nurse. 25 years ago, her name was all over the news. She's
really?
Been tracked down in Virginia. She's been hit with a $500,000 bill. Her name is Tawana Brawley.
Come on.
And
come,
she's
stop.
Been hiding out. And she only made
stop.
About slight $4,000 in payments when she lost the civil a lawsuit for defamation against the people she falsely accused of rape. And she fled. And deeded out there, and they found her living under another name. Let's see, what name did they find her living under?
I thought she was dead.
Tawana Vicentia Thompson Gutierrez in Hopewell, Virginia, and she's been working as a licensed
nurse. Let's go a little further.
Let's
go a little further, Sarge. She had Sharpton, all the minority leaders up in arms and everything, and she lied. She lied. This is the same one I'm talking about.
You know, the guy who she owes the money to, Steve Bagones, get this.
Right.
He says he might waive the interest on what she owes. She just has to pay the principal. That's a lot of money, the interest on what she owes is a lot of money. She wants Brawley
right.
to fess up. And if she fesses up
right.
and tells Sharpton's part in getting her to tell these fictions, that could be really
right.
embarrassing for old Al and MSNBC.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Melissa, how's my voice?
I'd love to see that, man, if that is so.
Yeah. Well, you know,
she paid
going
more
back,
money to Steve Bagones than Al Sharpton did.
Thank you.
Al Sharpton got away with not paying anything.
Well, I think that's going to always follow
back.
Him.
He did pay a certain amount of money out of his own pocket, but then some businessmen came forward to pay the damages for him back in 2001.
That's true. But going back to the thing. So we were in this, and I don't mean to skip it, Sarge. I just want to tell this really quick where I can still remember it. We're in this reception.
Really, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think Sarge and Ping and anybody else listening, I think Ryan wants to tell his story. Right?
I kind of do. Maybe bits and pieces of it. And and when I called you a liar, you know I was joking, Melissa. Cindy did the same thing. You know, normally people...
like a love story you had with this woman?
Who?
No.
When I was calling people liars, I was joking, because usually when you have surgery, it's traditional to say, hey, you know, they'll give you some propofol and you go to sleep, you wake up, you go in recovery room, we have to go home. That's usually how it works. You know what I mean? You're not feeling it, do. And everybody around me was saying this was going to happen. My girlfriend, Melissa, Laverne, everybody who cared about me, right? Hey, don't worry. You're going to get to, you get a little nappy. You wake up, you blah, blah. So I'm in this room. It was like a receptionist room, and there's like six of us. And I know who's going in because they got the shower cap on their heads. You know what I mean? There's no water going on. So I'm there. And then you would see a nurse. And by the way, I wasn't in just any kind of makeshift hospital in the hood. I was in the best hospital in Beverly Hills, the number one surgeon in Beverly Hills where I was. They have valet parking just to get into the hospital. That's where I was. I had one of the best specialists work on me. So I'm in Beverly Hills now. I'm in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, the best in the country. With the best specialist, by the way. So I'm there, and they're taking each one. And I'm coming up at number two. And I turned to Cindy, and I said, don't restrain me. Whatever they do, don't restrain me. Because I'm afraid of death of being restrained. Don't do it. I'm the last one. I take the last walk. They go, Mr. Jackson. I take a deep breath. I go, yes. And by the way, the reason I'm telling this story is because you assholes have to listen to me. I went in for a checkup. Just a checkup. You know what? It's been a long time since I had a checkup. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I'm wiry. I could still run a mile. I could do a 4.3. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with me. Nothing. Nothing. Come back. The test comes back. Get a call. Come on in. I guess they want to tell me what a beautiful specimen I am. This is my head. Nothing wrong with me. You know what I mean? I guess he wants to brag that, my God, you smoked and you quit smoking and look at you. You hunk a man, you. You hunk a hunk of man love. This is what I'm thinking. I'm going to get a trophy for being a hunk of man. And then you hear the words, can you come in? I go, yeah. I say, can my girlfriend come in with me? She goes, sure. We're in a room. Doctor, Cindy. Cindy's holding my hand. I'm like, baby, what are you holding your hand? I'm going to get a trophy to being a hunk of man. It's still in my head. I'm going to get praised. Then we go get some ice cream. Sit there. And he looks at me, he takes a deep breath, and he puts his head down. I go, this is not good. Cindy, this is not good. Cindy, hey, will you be quiet? This is not good. Will you be quiet? I felt this, right? What happened to my trophy? And he raised his head up, and he goes, we found something. I go, what did you find? Some change? Because I lost my watch. And I'm like, you know, it's still in my head. What did you find? Whatever you found is mine. You know what I mean? This is my head. He goes, I want you to come back and I want you to take this test. I go, test? I didn't even study for this shit. I want you to take this test. It's called a PMS test or whatever. Okay? Come back, take the test. And he says, same thing, same room, same exhale. We found something that don't look right. I go, okay, well, let's leave it alone, put some dirt on it, let's go. He goes, sir, you got to take this seriously. When they say the words to you, it's just unbelievable. When they finally say those words, and they'll say those words to you, and I'm saying this story because I went in for a checkup. Just a fucking, there was nothing wrong with me. Strong as an ox. I could have more, so you put you down easy. My voice was strong. Just a checkup. And they say those words, you have cancer. You would not believe what happens to a person. You go into this darkness. You hear it, but you go into this darkness. And it's like I'm in this shell, this dark shell. And then you're talking to yourself. It's like, dude, did he just say what I mean, this is you talking to yourself. Dude, did he just say what we thought? He goes, nah, no, not us. I mean, this is what you're hearing, right? And you're looking, and then I can feel Cindy's hand tighten, really tight, squeezing my hand. I go, nah, he's talking about somebody else. He got somebody else, not me. And he's still talking, and you're seeing his mouth move. And you're still talking to yourself, oh, this is bullshit. Come on, this is bullshit. Really? Bullshit. Then you have to accept it. Your life is over. You're dead. So I go from there to checkup, to a diagnosis, to tests. Next thing you know, I'm in one of these MRI things, and I'm in this, and we went through Holy Hill, and this and this. So I go from a checkup to a diagnose to where we get to the point where I'm at, one of the major specialist hospital in Beverly Hills. I'm right there with my little hat on. I haven't put that hat on since I had a perm and had jerry curl. Doctor comes in, and I'm the only one left now. I look at Cindy. Cindy blows me a kiss. She mouths, I love you. I said, remember your promise. Okay. We go in, and Cindy had to tell me, because it was apparently I threw up on myself. Apparently I threw up on myself. I aspirated.
No.
I guess that's what they call. Huh?
They put a tube. They put a tube.
No. Well,
in your nose.
I know they put. They did put a tube, but I did throw up on myself.
And I inhaled.
The tube. I inhaled my own vomit. Which
into his lungs.
Which got into my lungs.
Yeah.
So she was at one point where they're giving her little updates. Everything's going well. He's doing well. Then all of a sudden, bam, people were scurrying all over the place. They rushed me from one operation to another surgery right away. They were scurrying, running to try to save me because the problem of it is I could hear them. But they cannot hear me. It's one of those things that we dread. Like, you know, the doctor says, I think he's under and they're going to do the surgery and cut you, but you're awake. You can feel it. It's one of those things that I was, in my mind, I was awake. I could hear what's going on. But they couldn't hear me. I could hear the nurse talk to the doctor. I could hear the doctor talk to the nurse. I could hear the doctor says, does he have propofol? Does he need more propofol? We're going to lose him. We got to get him out of here. Get that out of here. Give me more. I could hear everything. Everything. And I did not want to hear everything. And I started to scream, and nobody heard me. I could hear the background. I could hear Cindy. I could hear everything. By this time, I guess I'm in, so Cindy says she was waiting for me in the room. They were going to go. I was supposed to go to the surgery. I was supposed to go to the room. Cindy was waiting for me in the room, and all of a sudden there was like alert. They text her, we got a problem. So they brought, I guess, in recovery, Cindy finally comes in, and they're still just, they're cleaning me up a little bit and say that he has an infection. He has a really bad infection, and we're going to have to put him in a coma. And then Cindy goes, we're going to have to restrain him. They said this to her. Cindy goes, no, don't restrain him. And this is what Cindy was trying to tell me, and I can hear her. Don't restrain me. And I'm screaming, don't restrain me. And they go, we're going to have to restrain him. And the nurse says, he's so far under, he's not going to feel it. Cindy goes, please don't restrain him. He'll feel it. And the nurse was trying to tell her, no, he's too far under. He won't feel it. He won't know what's going on. So she had to let him restrain me. And Cindy goes, okay, I'm telling you, you don't know this guy. So Cindy was telling me, as soon as they restrained me, they were trying to clean me up, work me. And then I started to rise up. I was still out of it. But I was rising up, and they had to put my shoulders down. And I was rising back up. And it took two people to put my shoulders down because of the restraint. And they go, this guy is strong. Cindy goes, I told you. don't restrain this guy. They go, put him under more. And so when I'm – there's some nurses – so then the nurses are listening to this. Some nurses are listening to this, and I'm just saying you guys are Superman and what you had to put through, and I knew I was an asshole, and I appreciate what you did. Some of you nurses, I think you took liberty. Some of you guys put a finger up my whoa, and I don't know if that was part of the procedure.
Oh my God.
But thank you. But they had me there, and I was gone. I was falling, and it was black. And all I heard was shh, and there was no phone. There was no diet. There was nothing. It was just darkness and falling. I could hear people in the background. And then I'm hearing the nurse yell at me, and they had to get my attention, and they were saying, Mr. Jackson, you got to open your eyes. And I wouldn't open my eyes. It was just horrible. I'm not going to take you to the whole thing. The moral of the story, if you're over 45, you got to go. Sooner or later, you're going to go. Let me tell you something. Sooner or later, and sorry, any guy will tell you, sooner or later, you're going to go. Either you're going to go when you have problems, or you're going to go right now to take care of it before you have problems. That's all I'm going to say to you. Sooner or later, you're going to go. You will. The odds are you will. I'm cancer-free.
Oh, thank God.
Congratulations. Isn't that wonderful?
No.
I don't know.
Do you mind telling us what specific type of cancer was?
Well, I was going to keep that a secret because it's really personal, but I will tell you what I had.
Well, I know some types are more aggressive than others, and, you know, some are...
Yeah, no. It's like I said, I would not, ask a guest to answer something if I would not answer. I had... prostate cancer, and I had urology, bladder cancer.
Right. Well, fortunately, my understanding, if I remember right, those are among the most likely to result in good results from early treatment.
Yes. But mine became aggressive. It was, the doctor says, it's unusual because usually we would not have to go this far. When a person has, if we caught it early, because apparently they, there was a lot of things you had to go through. Thank God I didn't go to stage four. A doctor told me I was stage, there was one doctor who said I was like stage four. I was in the hospital, first operation, and he's screaming at me. He was actually, they were prepping me. I didn't trust him. And so I was in the prep room. This guy made me really nervous, so my blood pressure went over 200. Over 200. And the nurse says, your blood pressure is over 200. I go, yeah. She goes, what the hell is going on? We can't do that. I mean, they were even going, oh, my God, and it kept going up and up and up. And my first the first doctor who's going to put this surgery comes in, and he goes, what the hell is, and he's yelling at me, what the hell is happening? I go, I don't know. I'm trying to calm down. He goes, you better calm down. We're going to do this procedure. I mean, he's screaming at me. And there's other people around me, right? And he goes, we took the day off. We agreed that we're going to have this procedure done today. Yes, sir. Why is your blood pressure this high? It should not be this high. If you get this blood pressure any higher, I cannot do this procedure. Do you understand me? You're going to get this blood pressure down. I'm going to come back in 15 minutes, and that blood pressure better be down. That's how he was talking to me. That's how he was talking to me. I'm laying on this gurney going, I got to get this blood pressure down. I got to get this blood pressure down. The blood pressure got 210, 220, 225. They didn't want to take it anymore. They didn't want to take it anymore. So one of the nurses go up to him and said, we cannot do this procedure. It's too dangerous. He gets stroke, and which made him more, and so it made him more furious. So he comes in, and I had the anesthesiologist there, I guess that you call her that, and
yeah.
He tries to talk in the calm voice. You need to calm down. And the anesthesiologist was there, and she's looking at me in my eyes because I could only communicate with my eyes, and she sees the fear in my eyes, right? I'm ready to get into surgery. And she goes, Mr. Jackson, are you okay? I go, I'm trying. She goes, I know you are. Do you want to have this? And then he's yelling at her, that's my patient. He better do what he needs to do. He knows damn well what we had to do. We had a deal, blah, 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 blah. And then something kicked in, I swear to God. I said, I'm not going out this way. All of a sudden, I reach and I go, I still got balls. And then I said to him, you lied to me. He goes, what did I lie about? I mean, he's screaming. You can hear this anesthesiologist that's there.
Yay.
I said I had stage four. I never said you had stage four. You said you had stage four. I go, how can I say I had stage four? I'm not a doctor. You said it. That's what kind of conversation we had when I was getting pre-op. There you go. So you can understand, I had this, I did the show, I had it for a year. I hit it the best I could. I did the show for a year. Today, again, it'll be another time, and I say this because there's somebody out there right now, there's a doctor right now sitting down with somebody right now, giving him the news or her the news, right now. There's a guy out there right now running track and everything who had to have a checkup, and he's 45. Right now, healthy, eating, dancing, whatever you want to do. Right now, that has cancer. And I say this because there was no signs. There was nothing. The only way that you're going to get, if you're okay, is your your PSA test. Get it done. It saved my life. The people at the hospital, I want to thank, there's three or four nurses listening, I want to thank you so much. It was rough, man. They put me in a coma, and people want to know what was going to coma. I didn't think, they said to Cindy, he's a fighter. I never seen anybody fight this much. He goes, yeah, he's a fighter. He's my hero. And I fought. I fought hard. It wasn't easy. It would be very easy to let go. It was a darkness, and I could have let go. But I fought. And you got to fight. I'm about 3 weeks from surgery. About 2.5 weeks ago, I was in surgery. I was under the knife.
It's been
to you
longer
guys.
Than that. You don't remember.
I don't remember. I don't. I don't
remember.
Honestly,
Sarge, there are lapses in the time. It's been longer than that.
It's been
Brian,
no.
It's been
no,
a lot
of the surgery,
things
what?
On the show, man. But I don't think you've ever said anything more true than the things you just said a moment ago. I mean,
I don't.
Yeah.
Brian, your birthday was. December.
The 3rd.
Okay.
My birthday was the 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had
okay.
The 5th I went in. December 5th I went in. What is, this is January?
Huh.
Yeah.
It's January 23rd.
So it's 3 weeks. About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No.
And forgive me if I'm wrong, but aren't rates of prostate cancer higher in men than breast cancer for women?
I don't know, but it's very common. It's very common, I'm finding out.
It is, actually. I got to look that up, but I think it is. I think men have
it
higher
is.
Rates of prostate cancer than women have rates of breast cancer.
Yeah, I can't compare the two, but it's very, all I know is in black men, we're basically goners. It's, what I'm finding out and did the research is that if a black man comes to me and he's 47 years old or he's 50 years old and he said he doesn't have any prostate cancer, I'm saying he's an unusual. This is how familiar and how frequent it is in the black community.
Well, I'll tell you, 2 years ago I had urinary flow problems, so I went to the doctor. The doctor said I had enlarged prostate. And, you know, I said, oh, man, this means something cancer. They did the test, did the PSA, came back negative. But they gave me some treatments to help reduce the size of my prostate, and my flow pretty much came back to normal. But it was touch and go there for a while, and I was really scared. That's what it like, because, you know, my father had it. I said, well, maybe this is my time to get it. But, you know, fortunately, though, I did go to the doctor when I noticed the problems. And, you know, then the treatments they gave me pretty much put it under control. But it's definitely something you should not ignore.
Yeah.
Now, let me count this, okay? It was 4 weeks January 5th, okay? And then we're 5, 6, then nearly 7 weeks.
Huh? 7 weeks?
It's been nearly 7 weeks.
No.
Yeah.
How could that be?
Because.
What?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
How did you get 7 weeks?
Go to from December. I'm looking at my calendar. Go from December 5th to January 5th. There's the fourth week. And then
we'll
go 12. There's 5. There's 19. There's 6. And then the 26th, it will be almost 8 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. But you're here now. And
so,
I was glad he wanted to do this because it was like, you know, go ahead and do it. You know, we'll all be there for you.
Yeah, when I think,
I'll be there
you know,
for you.
Thank you. It's time to go to work, you know. I don't know how long my strength was. This is not supposed to be a downer. This is supposed to be an announcement like, you know, it's an announcement like you guys got to get checked, man. Because sooner or later, you're going to get it. You're going to go. You're going to go.
Stanley,
I promise you that.
Here today. Where's Stanley?
Maybe Stanley's at work. So I just want to share that with you. So sometimes if you're not hearing my voice being strong, sometimes I'll go in and out. You got to remember, I just had surgery. When? When did I have surgery? 7 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Do
you have to take medications?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, regular
God.
Medications that...
Those idiots. Mr. Jackson, 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Time for medication. I don't want medication. Get out of my room. And then they talk to you like you're children. You ever see? It's like they talk to you. I'm a grown-ass man. And, well, sometimes I like the baby talk. I'll be honest. I like the baby talk once in a while from one nurse. All right, well, how are we feeling? I don't know. But they talk to you
well,
like
what,
you're
what
a retarded child.
What was their discomfort level like post-surgery?
Uh-huh. Say that
what
again.
Was
like,
what?
What was your discomfort level post surgery?
Oh, I don't think he remembers.
My pain
I
level or discomfort level?
Time.
Well, both.
I didn't have
any phone,
but
we were.
More significant.
I didn't. I didn't even know who I was. I didn't have any pain.
You did not know. You did not.
No.
Once
no.
I called,
discomfort.
He goes, Georgia, Georgia on my mind. I said, stop it. He was
what?
Out of it. Yeah.
What, Melissa? Seriously?
Yeah, you just seriously.
I'm thinking Georgia on my mind.
You did.
Oh.
Yeah.
But there was one thing that that meant a lot. Cindy was. I mean, I cannot tell you enough that to have someone. We talk on this show, and you'll hear idiots talk on
the
show, and you hear
saint.
This about. Huh?
The woman is a saint.
She's something. But we hear things, and Sarge, and I know what Sarge is saying, when you have, not to mention good friends, I mean, please, I'm not putting you guys on the back burner. You guys are very important to me. You had a woman in there that was fighting for me. I mean, telling the doctors no and this and this, and she was there, you know? And she, it's not the first time she fought for me. And I'm going with the nurses. There was a time where people didn't know what I did. So I was in a chatty room. I was in a chat room, and I was annoying like I am now. Very annoying. I was almost a bully. Well, at the same time, I was casting for a movie. But they didn't know that I was in the business. So somebody went into my whisper. It was a guy posing as a teenage girl.
Oh.
Trying to catfish me, I guess, whatever, right? And so they, you know, they tried to flirt with me. Now, I was casting, and I happened to was trying to cast for a certain age. And I said, you know what, send me a picture and send me a resume, whatever. Oh, you want a picture of me? Yeah, I'd like to have a picture. Well, how are you, what kind of, you know all this crap, right? And I'm thinking, don't be ridiculous. Just send me a headshot, right? Okay, so bottom line, this is where, you know, Cindy was in a chat room, and this, I didn't really know her or whatever, but, she, you know, it was, I had a big mouth, blah, blah, they didn't know who I was. So it was a rumor that I was liking young girls.
Oh.
So they spread the rumor that I was liking young girls, that I want to do things and pretend I want to put them in the movies. I had my card. I had my SAG card. I had, you know what I mean? But they just wanted it. So it was terrible. And I did not run. But there was a lot of people who got really hateful and got mean. And Cindy didn't say nothing. She was under a different name. And so I just sat and looked at them, looked at the idiots. I know who I was. You know, I was safe because they didn't know who I was, right? So it wasn't really terrifying, but it's still. So Cindy just says, hi. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, hi. She goes, well, your name is running around. It's through the mud, isn't it? I go, yeah, how about that? She goes, yeah. I go, why are you talking to me? Because I don't believe it. She goes, I've seen you. You're a loudmouth. You're an idiot. You're an asshole sometimes. I go, thank you. What's my bad traits? You know, this is how we started to talk. And I got through it. And she just said, you got through it, and you were popular again, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, I learned a lot from you. I go, okay. And she had some problems. She was married at the time. And then I helped her, talk to her, whatever. And I got her through some things. And we became friends. So I guess she's old. She likes to watch these old movies on a Hallmark and whatever. So she typed to me, have you ever seen To Serve with Love? I go, what the hell is that? She goes, it's a movie. I go, never heard of it. Is there any violence, any shooting, anything? Anybody die? She goes, no, it's a movie. I go, no. So she told me about the movie. I go, okay. She goes, sometimes when I think of that song, I think of you because, you know, you have helped me through this thing, and I see them attacking you. You held strong. You didn't go away. So bottom line is the song. When I was under, I can hear them. I was screaming, don't do this. Don't put me under. I'm hearing more preferable. How's he not under? Clean his mouth. Do this. This guy, I even heard a nurse say this. Doctor, he's not going to make. I heard that. And I said, stop. I'm screaming at this point. But they can't hear me, but I can hear them. And then, it was horrible. Then it got rough. It got really rough. So what happened was Cindy saw that I could probably hear because she was looking at me. And she kind of knew I was out, but she kind of knew, I don't know how she knew, she'll tell you, because she saw, you know how your eyes water and they come down? You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So she knew.
Yep.
So what she did was she got her phone. And after this break, we'll talk about nurses. I just want to tell you what happened. She got her phone. And she goes, remember this, honey? And this is what she played, and I relaxed. So I was out of it. She played it. She said, I let go of her hand. She whispered to me, and she goes, show these bastards how strong you are. Don't let them see how weak you are. And I came through it. I can hear, but I could not talk. And I just don't know. I won't go on, but all I can say is, if you're over 45, you really need, I'm begging you, just make an appointment. And if there's nothing wrong, that's cool. But if you catch it early, I got lucky. Cancer saved my life. I stopped smoking. I cared a little bit. I took care of not just one, two different. It's like my girlfriend screamed at me, you have to be different, don't you? I don't know. Leave me alone. You can't scream at a cancer boy. Two different cancers that I had to knock down. So if I can do it, you can do it too. Nurses, man, there's a syndrome called nurse syndrome. Now, I couldn't communicate. I had a tube down my throat. I couldn't talk. There was one nurse that was screaming, wake up, wake up, you got to wake up. And the more she started screaming at me, I could hear her, but I couldn't do it. I closed my eyes tighter. And she screamed at me. I guess I was in ICU at this time in procedure. I can hear the doctor getting really pissed off at me. He got to wake up. I'm hearing her screaming, and she's screaming at me. Mr. Jackson, you got to wake up. Because they couldn't do the next procedure unless I was awake and I could understand instructions. But they needed to do this other procedure. They needed me awake. So she had a panic in her voice. So after 10 minutes, I said, I opened my eyes. She goes, his eyes are open. He goes, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes. And the only thing I could see was her teeth and a nose. And the first thing, we were like, ah! I'm going to go back and go to sleep. She was screaming at me because you got to wake up. Wiggle your toes for me, Mr. Jackson. I go, wiggle my toes? What's wrong with this freak? Wiggle my toes. Your fingers, Mr. Jackson. Move your finger. Move my fingers. Okay, my fingers are fine. What's going on with you, you freakazoid? And she goes, can you hear me? And I couldn't talk. She goes, okay, you're awake. And she goes, okay, what we're going to do is blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Do you understand? What? Who? Oh, that's the guy with the gun. Who? What? And that's how it was. And they put me right into the room. And these nurses will toss you like a pancake. But first they'll humiliate you. Oh, you big boy. Yeah, I'm big boy. Oh, you weigh a lot. Yes, I do. Don't humiliate me. Don't body shame me. Oh, we're going to have to bring in extra people for flip you over. I go, come on. How humiliating that was. Then they put you on this thing, and then they go, we put you on a towel. They go, just a minute. Poof. Next thing you know, they flip you over. I'm going, how did that happen? They go, we move you up, we move you down. A month and a half in a bed. Month and a half. I could not drink. I could not eat. I said, it's been 4 weeks. I need something to drink. You're not getting anything to drink because you're hooked to an IV, which is giving you your nutrients. But I needed something to drink. I can't eat anything. Blah! Horrible. So the next story I'll tell you is how I got revenge, but then they got revenge back on me. All I can say is nurses are beautiful. There's a little thing that I did not know. It's called, do you suffer from nurse syndrome? Does anybody here know what a nurse syndrome is? Anybody? Okay, everybody's falling asleep.
Isn't it called Florence Nightingale syndrome?
You're close. You are close. But no. Oh, my God. Where is it at?
Isn't it when your nurse gets kind of a thing for you, which just cares for you all?
You're close. It's when you fall in love with your nurse because she's a caretaker. Here we go. A nurse syndrome particularly affects women. It is characterized by the unconsciousness and irresponsible need to save or fix the other. Especially in a romantic relationship, what does this excess prosperity to take care of others come from? How do you get rid of it? Insights from blah, blah, blah. So when you have a person who in a bad relationship and she wants to fix it or she wants to fix you, you know what I'm trying to say? They need to fix it. They need to save you.
Could be part of it from maybe the maternal instinct has something to do with it too?
Well, I think there's a point to it. It says then there's the super nurse syndrome. The super nurse syndrome is described the dynamics of the super nurse syndrome. Damn it. But you basically fall in love with your nurse, and they're trying to tell you to people who fall in love with their nurses, and they like the kind of type, and the nurses would love to fix you. And there was one nurse that I couldn't communicate. All we did was we played little, we call it, the only thing I could think of is eyesies, meaning that I would close my eyes. She would close her. It's like a kid. I was rearing back to a child. I couldn't talk. And then I would open my eyes suddenly, like peekaboo, like a child. Then I would close my eyes again, then open my eyes again. She would do the same thing, mocking, mirroring me. You know what I mean? I would close my eyes. She would close her eyes because the only thing I could see was her eyes. Then I would open my eyes, and she opens her eyes. And this was the only communication I got. Then I would close my eyes again. She would close her eyes. Then I would open them up really quickly, and she would open her eyes up really quickly. And I have never seen Io's eyes smile. Her eyes were smiling, and I was smiling, too. It was the only communication I had with a person, you know? Let's see. So study that. I don't have time. I had the thing up. I don't know what happened to it. But there is a thing called nurse's syndrome where you fall in love with your nurse. She's a caretaker. Does the relationship last? No, it does not last. Melissa had some experience working in a nursing home as a caretaker, I think, right? As a caregiver, Melissa?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Did you have any people fall in love with you? You know, especially ask for
know.
You, flirt with you? Huh?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't notice.
Oh.
Well, look, I don't know about you guys, but when I got shot and I had to spend 3 weeks in a three and a half weeks in a hospital, I know I fell in love with my nurse. I mean, the reason because she was just so damn fine. I mean, when a woman looks good in fatigues, I mean, looks real good in fatigues, you know she's fine.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, Sarge. There's a woman that had cleavage and everything. She was fine. I wasn't even thinking sex, man. I wasn't even thinking. I don't know if I could have took advantage of it. It was like going back to what Melissa was talking about, the Florence Nightingale effect. The Florence Nightingale effect is a trope where a caregiver falls in love with her patient. She falls in love with her patient. Now, I had the nurse, the one who was playing Isis with me. You know, that was the only community. That's what we did. I felt that I was still connected to this world. So she whispers to me. She goes, I want to shave you. I didn't realize I had a full beard. That's about maybe an inch long.
Did you
I
get
didn't
rid
realize
of that?
It. No, I still have it.
I saw it. You sent me a picture of him with it.
Yeah. It's about maybe an inch, maybe half an inch, Melissa. About a half inch, maybe. I look like Rudolph pooped me out of his ass when he was flying over a house.
Jillian likes it.
Yes.
But his hair is dark. But the beard, Jillian liked it.
Jillian's a polite person. She's a really good person.
No,
Jillian
doesn't say anything she doesn't mean. No. No.
You know how your face, when you're a guy, the first thing that goes gray is your facial hair, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, who the fuck is this? But so it's like that's the Florence Nightingale effect. Feeling may fade once the patient is no longer in need of care. So a nurse has to lose that control. And here's another, it says, what is nurse imposter syndrome? Nurse imposter syndrome is new nurses can especially struggle with feelings of fake or inadequate. Some nurses feel a sense of relief as they clock out at the end of the shift, fearing that they didn't do enough. So nurses feel the same way. It's kind of sad with the Florence Nightingale thing. Well, I don't need any care. See ya! So
when
she whispered to me.
You're giving such personal care to somebody, and, you know, they may fall in love with you more than them. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
just doing our jobs and having compassion.
I'm going
to
tell you, I would get embarrassed when she come around to give me some care, and I'd say, you know, because I get a little tumescent. And I say, oh, Lieutenant, will you maybe go check him out and come back to me in a minute or two? I'm like, I tell you, man, she just enthralled me. I ain't complaining. And she was really nice. She knew almost everybody in the damn ward was in love with the woman anyway. She knew this. And she knew what was going on, but she always flirted with us, not to the point of being, you know, out of line or anything. But she responded because she knew it would help us probably get a little better.
Yeah,
She was really a wonderful person, man. I'll never forget her.
I really do think of the nurses. I do, especially the IZ one.
Of course.
But it got a little freaky, though. And I don't know if it was cheating. You know, so the IZ one, the one that whispered in my ear, I could shave you. I go, okay, would you like to be shaved? I was like a child. Oh, goody. Can I get ice cream afterwards? I don't know why I was reduced to this. What kind of freak game am I playing? I'm a grown-ass man.
Because you were vulnerable.
So, I was. And then she goes, I'll come back. This really happened. I'll come back later tonight. Okay, I'm not going nowhere. So she goes, you know, have you taken a shower today? I go, no. She goes, it's been a month. I go, oh.
Really?
I don't smell nothing. She goes, you got to take a shower. I go, okay. She goes, okay. So what she goes is, you don't want to take a shower. I go, no, but I'm going to. So this is where I think I get freaky. You guys got to help me out. And then she goes, well, then I'll bathe you with the wipes, with the wipes. You know what I mean? With wipes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. And then, you know, the arms and the neck. Okay, we're still in terra firma area. We're still okay.
Did she give
you a
back
rub? The other arms. Yeah. And then it was the back and everything. And then it got down to the privates, right? And then she goes, she goes, well, I don't blame me, Melissa. I'm innocent. I'm Cancer Boy.
Can I just made me think. I have seen more penises than I think I would ever. Swear to God.
Exactly.
I don't.
I'm sure she's. I know. Hey, I got a special penis. It's like a corkscrew.
I don't remember them.
Anyway, I know.
Yeah.
So she says. So she says it's time to bathe the privates, and I said, okay. Because she's a nurse. She knows she's a professional private bather. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And she goes, she gives me the cloth. She gives me the wipes. And she says, go ahead and clean your privates.
Yeah, I
bet. I go, it's going to be like that, huh?
No.
Well, if I was a white guy, you'd be down there probably, you know, cleaning my balls. You go, Sarge, you go racist on it. Oh, really? Oh, you're going to stop here, huh? You know what I mean? But no, I didn't. She gave me the cloth. She gave me the cloth. But here's where it gets freaky, right? So I'm storing everything. I'm down there. I'm cleaning. And as I'm cleaning, she's staring down there at me cleaning, right? Really intently. Like it's a good movie that just came out, Top Gun. You know? So she's staring at me. And it's very arousal, Sarge. I didn't know. Don't blame me for being a freak. I didn't know I had freak stuff to have people watch me clean my privates. Now, is that freaky? Was I wrong? Was I wrong to get excited that somebody's staring at my privates as I'm slowly wiping my balls for to shine them up?
If it's you, know. I understand that.
Maybe it's the pride. Maybe it's your pride in doing a good job.
Yes.
Good job, my friend. We get
good.
So, you know, I purposely slowed it down a little bit. I purposely slowed it down going, ooh. All right.
Oh, God.
I was crazy. So that's it. Nurses, man. You will have, listen to Sarge, you will have a relationship with a nurse. The nurses are good. There are some nurses who are just mechanic. I have one nurse who's just a mechanical bull. All right, Mr. Jackson. I go, why are you guys yelling? It's not like I'm hard of hearing. I'm right here. And they talk to you really loud. Mr. Jackson, it's time for, where's the toilet paper? It's back in the water. I told you I put it in. Why is it doing in the water? Floating. Leave me alone. I got you a point, Sarge. Where I was pissed. This is the last thing I'm going to say. They left me alone for 15 fucking minutes. For 15 fucking minutes straight on. And I wanted my TV a little louder. So I couldn't find my little thing. So I'm saying, okay.
And
well,
boy,
I hit the little
did
button.
He have his TV loud, Sarge. When you'd call him, that TV was cranked.
Yeah, baby. How come
and
I don't have Thunder Song?
On, by, pray tell.
I don't know. It's like, where's the Thunderscope?
Sure, you
Mr.
were
Jackson,
watching the Playboy
don't...
channel or the channel or whatever it is.
It might have been.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Jackson.
I'm inclined to think that, yeah.
It was
loud.
Telling the truth.
I've shared the
Botry
channel
loud.
All day long.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you do that, Sarge.
I turn it up, baby. I was rebelling against these people. They put me in this bed. They won't let me go. Oh, and
but
you know
it
what
was serve you right if your stitches broke.
But you know what they did? They alarmed my bed. I didn't know they could do that. You guys ever notice they alarmed my bed? Melissa, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I had
no idea they pushed it. It's like your car alarm. Beep, beep. And they alarm your bed. I had no idea.
What is the alarm supposed to indicate?
If I stepped on the floor, you're hearing loud as can be. The whole hospital is hearing it. You got nurses running into your room. Get back in bed, mister. So that's how it was.
And
so
knowing
me like a,
huh?
Yeah, but knowing me like a child, as I am, and I was rebelling as a kid, because now nobody's giving me food, they're not giving me water, they're not having me a drink. At 3 in the morning, I'm thirsty, they're not doing nothing. They are ignoring me. So I would yell to the nurse, you will hear this in the darkness. You will hear this in the darkness, and I could hear them at their station. I could hear them talking about shit, dancing and shit. They're ignoring me. So I got pissed off. So I would go like this. Now, remember, this is continuously for 15 minutes straight, nonstop. Here's me. Nurse.
Oh, my God.
Nurse. Swear to God, straight, not even stopping. Nurse. Nurse. Hello, nurse. Nursey. Nurse, doctor, nurse, continuously for 15 minutes. You could hear them ignore me. Then somebody said something about I am mentally ill, that they should move me to the mentally ill bed, ward. I'm not mentally ill. I can hear you. Nurse. And I kept doing this. They ignored me. They would come in after 10 minutes of it. Yes, Mr. Jackson. What can I do for you? I want water. You know you can't have water. You know that. Yeah, I do. Then why do you keep asking for it? Because I want it. You cannot have it. You know this. Yes, I do. Then why do you keep asking? Because I want it. We're not going to go through this again, Mr. Jackson. And they left me. They left me. I go, okay, you want to play this game? Nurse. They ignored me. And then I remember, if I put one toe on the ground, the alarm goes off on my bed. So I planned this. I'm going to wait till 4 in the morning when it's all quiet and everything. And I couldn't wait for 4 in the morning comes. 4 in the morning comes, and I stretched out of the bed, and I put my toe right on the floor. Like four nurses come rushing through my room. What's wrong, Mr. Jackson? What are you trying to get out of bed for? I had an itch. What? I had an itch, and I was scratching my ass, and my foot hit the floor. Mr. Jackson, try to relax. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Okay. I'm a grown-ass man. I'll give you some ice cream. Okay. That's how it was. So I want to apologize to you beautiful nurses in Beverly Hills. I want to apologize to the search. I got in a fight. And I told you, this is the last part I'll end it. They were fucking with me. I told Cindy, they're fucking with me. Cindy goes, they're not fucking with you. These are professionals. I know when people are fucking with me. They're professional fucking with me. They're fucking me professionally. Cindy goes, they're not fucking with you. And she had me believe that they're not. I said, I know they're fucking with me. So there was a team of doctors, and one of the doctors was there. And the doctor's saying, so we got a request that you want to go. I go, yes, it's time for me to leave here. They go, well, do you need to go to rehab? I go, I don't need rehab. Rehabilitation? Rehabilitation.
I don't need
rehabilitation. Yeah. We don't have any beds. You can go home now. I want to go home. Well, then they started fucking with me. Well, the only way you can go home is you have to poop first. I go, what? Because I haven't had a movement in a month and a half. And my stomach was all fucked up. So you have to poop first before you go home. Then you have to pass gas before you go home. Before you go home. I go, what? So here I am the next 3 days trying to poop, trying to fart, trying to do everything. Nothing, fucking with me. And then finally I was happy. I go, I think I passed gas. Yay! You know, it was one of these things. I think I pooped. Yay. And I knew they were fucking with me. I go, now can I go home? Well, you have to poop twice. I go, you're fucking with me. I know you're fucking with me. And I thought I saw a little smile, right? All right. So now come back to 3 days and go, well, we have the orders now and we can sign you out. But before we can sign you out, the doctor has to see you. The doctor comes in. It's one of the surgeons. And I really wanted to go home. I go, what do you want me to do? Because they finally won. They finally won. I can't beat them. What do you want me to do? You want me to squeeze your finger? I can squeeze your finger. You want me to shit? I'll shit right here in the bed. What do you want me to do? And he looked at me and he smiled at me. He goes, nah, I'm just fucking with you. You're ready to go. I knew it! I knew you were fucking with me! And he started laughing. I knew it! That's how it ended. It really did. I knew it!
Imagine being on the receiving end of that.
Oh, my God. I could imagine. I just want to thank you, ladies. Thank you. When they asked what kind of podcast it is, I was ashamed because I said a lot of bad things about women, but I really love women, and I really respect women. As far as nurses are concerned, we don't give them enough credit. I mean, when you see a nurse or when you get in a hospital, you don't realize what these people do, man. These people are flipping me, trying to make me feel comfortable, serving me what I didn't want to be served. When they were washing me, when they're doing it, was nothing but business, man. They've got that arm up. They got this. I mean, within 2 minutes, you're done, you know. They do everything for you. Well, at least the hospital I was at. Now, mind you, I don't know if they're different hospitals, whatever. Like I said, I was in Beverly Hills. I was at one of the top hospitals. I was performed by one of the top surgeons. I was in one of these rooms, specialized rooms with the bed and everything, the lamp, you know, whatever. So I don't know. But I don't think that has anything to do with care, what these nurses do. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank you, nurses, for the
amazing.
Bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
They are
I
the
couldn't
backbone
get through it
of the medical industry. Absolute
they
backbone.
Are. They
yep.
are. I mean,
yep.
there were some things that was going
I'm
on there
they
that I think.
Good care of you, you know.
It was a no nonsense. They had to play nonsense when they had to be nonsense to placate the
yeah.
patient, you know. But they did their job, and they put me together again. They put me together
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
And thank you, King.
I told Melissa, if I have to. I'll call to every damn hospital out there and, you know, because, you know, I'm just going to be honest, like, I was being a big baby, man. I was crying. I was,
yeah.
I was depressed because I'm like, something is going on. And I was
yep.
praying, and I just knew something was going on. Like, I felt it. And all I did was I just prayed about it, you know what I mean, because I'm like, you know what? He wouldn't want to see me crying like a little bitch right now. He would want me to stay strong for my children
right.
and to hold it down, you know. And so,
right.
but it was hard, you know what I mean? Because I know how things can be when you want to keep it private. And,
right.
you know, I already knew what was going on, but
yeah.
I had a respect for you. I didn't really say anything. And
thank
then
you.
None of us did. None of us did.
You know,
right,
none
Karen?
Of us
none
said
of us.
Anything,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
But
mm-mm.
there was a few days where me, Melissa, and Laverne was on the phone, and we just prayed, you know what I mean? We talked and everything. And
good.
You know, so.
That makes my heart feel good to hear that.
King, you know what you
yeah.
did? King was the voice of reason, and he was really calming. King
right.
was really good.
Yeah.
He was.
Well done.
You know, I thought you were revamping the show, Brian. I had no idea you were going through this life crisis. You said
yeah,
you were going to revamp the show, and I thought that's what you were doing. You were like, you know, taking the time off to revamp. And here you are almost going through a life and death experience, and you kept that all to yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
For a year I did the show.
But you said you were
going to
revamp the show.
Yeah.
Maybe
there
did.
Are too many people that
you know?
That would take pot shots at me. I was really vulnerable at the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Let's be honest about that. You know why.
I'm sorry?
We know why. We
yeah.
know why it was kept secret. We know why.
Yeah. And then you turn on the TV and everything is about cancer. You see, you go, you turn on the TV and you watch a TV show and it's about cancer. You watch a medical show, it's about cancer. Everything was about cancer. Not only cancer, people dying. And you're saying dying, cancer, yeah. Dying. You know, you're fighting this for a year. And you look around, yeah. And say, am I going to be around? Yeah, I was fighting this for 1 year. I want to just say, King, bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Melissa.
Yeah,
you know, I feel the same.
You're welcome.
We fought
I got
together.
You.
We were, you know, and we protected,
yeah.
Brian also. We really did because we didn't want,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
People to or say anything that could be discouraging,
yeah.
to him. We,
yeah.
didn't want that.
Yeah.
We kept our mouth shut.
No.
I just think you guys saying this, and Brian, you are revealing how important it was to have the support of your friends and your,
yes.
family and your associates and all that. Now, just think for a minute. Back during COVID, they were preventing families from being with their loved one in either the last moments or when they were in crisis. Now do we understand,
right.
how bad that was to keep people from people who love them and being in association with them while they're going through stuff like this?
You're,
right.
exactly right.
But in New York, they did that, and they kept people away from their loved ones when they were suffering COVID on the guise of, we're trying to prevent a pandemic.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree,
yeah.
with you.
It was hard to keep it from you guys. I like I said, I told King. I think I told King first, and then I told Melissa, and then I told Laverne together. I didn't know whether I wanted to tell them because I didn't want them to worry. King was at the time where he was moving, I think, from Phoenix to Kansas City at the time. He was going through some stuff with, I think, your father or your grandfather was dying of cancer at the time, King, or your uncle. It was someone.
Yeah, it was my dad. He had a tumor, and it was turning cancerous.
Yeah.
And thank God they went in. And they saved him. They, you know, removed everything. And of course,
yeah.
as I was telling Brian his story, I was like, now, you know, Brian, if your ass is sick, and I was little, I was little niggerish to him, you know what I mean? I said, if your ass is sick, you better take your ass to the doctor. And, you know, of course, he couldn't lie. He couldn't lie about anything. And so that's when it all came out. And he told me, he said, look, I don't want you to say anything to anybody. And I said, I'm not, you know. And so I just stayed silent. I just prayed. And the more that I prayed, I felt better because I knew right then and there he couldn't do anything but take care of himself. So, yeah, I was the first,
yeah.
person that he told. And one thing about me, like, Brian is like a brother from another mother that I've never had. Because I only got one sister, but he's like an older brother I've never had. And there's,
mm-hmm.
things that I can talk to him about because he's a man.
Right.
He can understand, you know.
Right.
And after he told me that, I was like, oh, my goodness. And I said,
yeah.
you know, God works in mysterious ways. And then also, God works in mysterious ways because at the time, there was things going on between me, Melissa, and Laverne.
Right.
Kind of nonsense. And because
right.
of you being sick, it brought us closer together. You know what I mean?
Thank
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I truly believe nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. And there's always
right.
time to heal, forgive, and to love one another. And I
true.
I just I'm happy that it brought us together, you know what I mean? I'm not happy that things had happened, but I'm happy
right.
it brought us together. And so, you know, just to be able to hear your voice again, I'm just,
right.
I'm happy because I felt like what I said to you, it made you be aware of your health, be serious about
right.
your health, and also be a speaker so others can hear what you're dealing with so they can, you know, get checked out and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it hurt me, but I said, you know what? I know he's going to be all right and everything's
mm-hmm.
going to be fine. And so I didn't want to think about it no more. And then when Melissa hit me up, I said, oh, shit, it's for real. And so, you know, but I thank God, and I thank God for providing you with those nurses out there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. And I want to thank, I forgot her name now, but yeah.
Laverne?
No, I'm going to say your wife, because technically
Cindy.
She's like your coming law wife. Yeah, Cindy. I want to thank Cindy, you know, for you know, being there and for sharing us with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if it wasn't, I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for her, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it plain and simple. She was, when I was in a coma, like I said, I interviewed somebody before about a coma. What was Melissa was on the air. What was it like? What were you thinking?
Mm.
And you're thinking real time. You're there, but you're not there. But things are happening in real time. Like I said, I can hear the background. And so I can hear the background of the nurses, and I hear them talking, and I hear the doctor talking, and it wasn't good. And I was screaming, saying, I can hear you talk, you know. And, of course, nobody heard me. And so it was rough, so Cindy whispered in my ear. She's going, all right, tough guy, let's see what you can do. And I can still hear them talking about, you know, more this, more that, and less this, and I don't think he's going to make it. I don't know how much he has. You know, I can still hear that. And she was saying, you know, she was saying, listen to me. You know, that kind of thing. It pulled me through. Mm. You know, it pulled me through when she says, you know, show them. You know, it pulled me through. And when the doctor finally talked to me, he says, we lost you a couple of times. You had me worried a couple of times. I go, yeah. He goes, I have never seen anybody fight so hard in my life. You're a fighter. I go, yeah, well. And he goes, I know Cindy was talking to you, and whatever she said probably saved your life. So I came back hard, you know. To this day, is it a happy going back to today, right now on the radio? How am I doing?
Excellent.
Well, huh, kiddo?
What do you guys think? I think he's doing a good job.
Well, yes, I believe he's doing really good, you know.
Well, thank you. I can't walk.
Welcome.
I need a walker. I need a walker. I have it right here. Listen. That's my walker.
Yeah.
You need to put some jewels on that thing.
It has wheels and everything.
Jewels on that thing.
I know, right? Where's my tennis balls?
Yeah.
You know how they put those tennis balls on the
bottom
or something?
Oh, my God. You don't have tennis balls on it, do you?
No, not yet, but I think I'm going to get turbo.
Okay.
But
okay.
They said that my legs are weak because I've been in bed for like a month and a half. The walker is strengthening my legs. It's just a strengthener.
Good.
Get me around. I'm able to go to the bathroom and everything by myself. I'm able to cook by myself.
What did you cook? Oh, my God, guys.
I had some scrambled eggs. Oh, the worst thing ever is that I lost my sense of taste for about a week.
Really?
I couldn't taste anything.
Oh,
but
no.
I had some scrambled eggs and had some this. And Cindy's, and was she one day, she did whisper, it was funny. She goes, if you get out of this, I promise you, your lobster tail and your steak. And I was in that,
and
she still thought I was out of it, right? So we got into the room and everything. She goes, hi, honey, what do you want? Where's my motherfucking lobster tail? She goes, you heard that? I heard that. And I want it.
Oh, my God. You got to get your
hey,
good steak.
You can't tease a black man about lobster tail.
No.
Hey.
It's
so
great.
I'm
good to be back
they
with
said,
everybody.
The doctor says, it'll take 2 to 3 months of my rehab to get back.
Oh, yeah.
I said to the doctor, it'll take 3 or 4 days. So you have no idea. You know, I'm going on the air in 3 days. He goes, you need to rest your voice, sir, and you need to do this, and don't examine your hand. I go, stop! I'm going to put you on the radio, sir.
Well,
no way in hell and I'm going to stay around. There's people who care about me, don't know what the hell's going on. Some people think I'm dead. I got to get back on the radio. That's the only way they know I'm alive. You know, if I have a shitty show, I have a shitty show. But I got to let them know that I'm here.
You have done in a humorous and touching way a very important public service, and good on you for doing this here show. I think it's very important you share these kind of experiences with people, and particularly let men who are particularly prone to ignoring signs of ill health. Let's face it, that's what we are. I mean, that's why we need women in our lives to make us go take care of ourselves.
Right.
You're doing this thing, it's a good thing.
Sarge,
yep.
You are so 100%, and that's why I get upset with these shows about women are this, men are this, women are this, and I don't like to frequent these shows. It's like there's no conclusion, and women are not absolute, and men are not absolute.
Exactly.
So don't
exactly.
And so what are we talking about? Well, women don't understand this, and women should be in the army, and women you know,
but women,
like,
man,
well,
I tell you one thing, women, like I said, women do have that caretaker maternal instinct. When my wife was alive, she was always berating me for not taking care of myself. She was talking, but I'm only doing it because I love you and I want you to be with me. So you know,
right. They pull that shit on you.
Yeah, I mean, and they're right because we just ignore it. We just put it aside. Even when you be in the middle of pain, I can fight through this pain. Yeah, what is it?
Right.
It'll be over for a while.
Hello.
Yeah.
I want an aspirin. No, I don't take the medication.
It's important that
we
talk about these kind of things because, man, you know, we really sell ourselves short in the healthcare department as a rule.
Cindy saved my life by nagging, and you're absolutely right, Sarge. It would be, you know, she was right there. She was probably more than the staff. They would talk to her, but she would bully me. Even when I was in a coma, she bullied me. You're being a pussy. I can hear that. You're not going to be a pussy.
Oh,
you're going to be strong. Yes, Melissa! I'm in a coma. I have cancer. That's not the thing you say to the person you love. You're a pussy. But she knew. She knew. She knew that some of the things that she would say to get me, you know, not the obvious things like, oh, come on, big man. You know, not the obvious bullshit. But she knew the inside bullshit that would get me going, that would trigger me. You're showing these doctors you're a pussy. They're telling me that it's going to be 3 or 4 months or you're going to be laid up in a hospital. Are you freaking kidding me? Now, I can't communicate with her. I could only squeeze her hand at this point. By the time she was done, I almost broke her finger. Ow! And there was one thing. Cindy will tell you, I'm coming out of the coma. I'm coming out of the coma. I'm in a room. I'm coming out of the coma. They go, he's coming out. He's coming out. And then and there was three nurses there and a doctor and Cindy was there. And the nurse will say, Mr. Jackson, I'm coming out. It's hazy and it's really foggy and hazy. I'm coming out of the coma. First time he's coming out, they don't know if I'm going to stay in a coma. I'm going to not go in a coma. Am I coming out of the coma? Am I going to stay in a coma? Am I going to die? They had no idea, but he's coming out. He's coming out. So I'm coming out of the coma, and I see a nurse, and they give you commands. If you could see us, you know, Mr. Jackson, please wiggle your fingers. I can wiggle my finger, and I see one nurse. And I'm saying hi to everybody. This is Dr. So-and-so who operated on you. I'm saying hi to him. He's waving to me. This is Nurse So-and-so who did this and everything. I'm waving to her. And he goes, of course you know Cindy. And I flipped her off. I gave her the middle finger. And I could hear the nurses going, oh, oh, oh. And Cindy started laughing. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. If he could think about flipping me off, he's going to be A-OK. I just gave her the middle finger. I heard what you said. And quit teasing me with the lobster tail, lady. So once I flipped her off, she says, everybody was laughing. I laughed the hardest because I knew you were going to be OK. That was it. Am I out of the woods? I think I'm out of the woods. I don't know. Is anything going to happen to me? I don't think so. How do I feel? I feel that I'm getting stronger. I'm very weak. I'm hoping. I held the show for an hour, so I'm getting stronger. For those who are texting me, King, Yeah, King and Melissa and Laverne. I wanted to text you back, but it hurt my eyes. Have you ever been in pain that it hurt your eyes to even look at your phone? Or you text, the concentration of the text and putting words together hurt your head? I was at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll text you when I could. I'll text you when I feel better. You know, I got your text. Love your text. Thank you for texting me. I'm not going to. I remember my doctor when I first went in there and I first met my doctor. He's supposed to be the best in Beverly Hills and whatever, the surgeon. I said to my doc, I said, what do you think my chances are? He goes, let me tell you something, Mr. Jackson. You're not going to die from cancer. You will die for something else, but my job is to not let you die for cancer, and I'm going to keep that promise. I go, okay, I'm in good hands now. That's it. Now, what I did not tell you, and that's another story, is that I come out unscathed. No, I didn't. Was there something that they altered my body? Yes, they did. Something I have to live with? Yes. So when they, and you can look it up yourself, so when you get your bladder removed, you can look it up what happens to you. And so when I woke up and I looked at my body and I said, this is a disgusting body. I asked Cindy what was going on. She goes, you have wires coming out of your back. It's like the Matrix. And I felt him clipping wires from the back of my back. And I looked, and I have a stoma. And if you don't know what a stoma is, at first it was humiliating, it was embarrassing. And I feel that it's still kind of embarrassing, but it's part of me now. And what a stoma is that they remove your bladder. You no longer have a bladder, meaning you're not pissing out of your dick anymore. Put it plain and simple. So what they did was I got a little, it looked like a butthole. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a little red butthole that is right in my stomach. It's a little butthole, a little perky butt. Who?
Over there. We
Who?
Had many conversations about this before it happened. And I was pretty
perky
blunt.
Butt.
I was like, so what? So what if
I know.
Is,
these are one of the choices that they give you, and I chose this because I wanted to get rid of the cancer for surgery. None of these pills or any of this other bullshit. I want to get me surgery, get rid of it, get it out of my body. Let's go. So I got
you
a stoma,
right,
and I'm going, thank you. And I look down, I'm going, my body's disgusting. I can't swim or anything like this. And then I look to the left, and I see this device. I'm coming out of it. You know, people tell you this is going to happen and everything. I'm dealing with life and death right now. I'm not even dealing with this yet. Now everything's calmed down in the middle of the night. I'm going, what the fuck? What the fuck did you do to my body? You know? And I'm by myself at 4 in the morning. What the fuck? And then I got this thing to the side of me, and it's like, how can I describe it? It's like a cup. It's like a cup. And what it is that you get this cup, and you have to cut this cup that fit right over your stoma, and then you got this other cup that will fit over that, and it hides it. And basically, you're peeing out of a hose. You have a bag. You have a bag that carries your urine. Now you have a bag with you. And you wake up, and you're going, what the fuck? Why am I a bag man now? I'm a bag man. My body's disgusting. I don't even want to look at my body. I don't want to deal with this because I haven't dealt with this yet, you know? And it's pretty cool. It's a hose.
What?
At night, I could put the hose, you have two things that connect to the stoma and gets to urine, and you empty the thing in the toilet. It doesn't smell or anything. It's like going to the bathroom. At nighttime, you got a bigger bag, meaning you just connect the bag, throw it on the floor, and sleep through the night and empty it in the morning. You don't have to get up in the morning. So I have that. I can disconnect the hose, and it's a little tiny bag that I could hide it underneath my shirt. You won't even know what's going on.
Yep.
you know that you have to go to the, you know that your bag is getting heavy because your stomach feels a little full, that, you know what I mean? And then you get to empty it 3 seconds, boom, you can empty it anywhere and go. You know what I mean? I'm not ashamed of it.
Don't be.
Yeah, I was. I was for a while. But then he goes, oh, it's your new
for me.
Yeah. But see, but they didn't tell me.
I pass you until you heal up, right?
No, for the rest of my life.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Oh, yeah. They removed the bladder, correct, Brian?
Well, they gave me two. I was only supposed to get one. So I woke up, I got two. I go, what's this for? This is for your, help me out. Not your bladder, but your kidney.
Yeah.
Your kidney. So they gave me another hose for that. So I had two hoses leaking out of my body. My whole back was like the Matrix. There was wires all over the place. And they wanted to make sure that it did not affect my kidney and when it cooled off my kidney. So that worked, and they clipped that off. They got rid of it. They clipped it off. Like, I could almost hear them like wire cutters cutting from my back, click, clip, you know what I mean? And they got rid of that. And they got rid of the stuff on my back. So it's not bad, Sarge. Sarge, it's not bad. Versus me dying of cancer, by the way. You know what I mean? If I didn't get it, Sarge, if I didn't get it, you would not believe the treatment that was offered to me. It was treatment that I would not wish my enemies have, you know? The pills and this and getting and have them go into your dick with a knife every 2 months just to see your levels. You would not believe what I would have had to go through. I made a decision to get it out of my body so I could go on living. But it's not so bad, Sarge. I mean, if you and I were watching a game and you actually saw it, you wouldn't even think twice of it, you know? You know what I mean? It's just a hose. Done. Put it back in at, you know, halftime. You know? I know it sounds...
Yeah.
It sounds medieval for the rest of your life.
It is,
dude.
Medieval.
I know. But I'm alive. Guess what, guys? The story you've been hearing is true. Nothing has been changed. But guess what? I am cancer-free. I can live with you guys now. I'm not going to die, at least from cancer. I'm cancer-free.
No.
What would you do? And you got to ask yourself, and we do this on this show, because I just don't want to have a show that people listen and talk stupid stuff. I always have, what would you do? What would you do? Would you rather have your bladder and then go through the pills and go through the experiments and go through every 2 months they can put you on an operating table and they open up your penis and they put a wire down your dick, your penis hole, just to check your levels. Every 2 months you have to have an operation, or you do what I did. What would you do?
But you did.
King, what would you do?
You know, I will probably let them do what they got to do to save me, you know? I mean, other folks, they'll probably say, well, I don't want that bag on me because I'm afraid of what people say. Oh, I don't want to do this.
Right.
I don't want to do that, you know? And at the end of the day, you should really think about what God has did, what God will be doing for you to be saving your life, you know? So,
yes.
I mean, I would have gotten the surgery and enjoyed my days living, you know?
Thank you.
Get it out of my body.
Yeah.
Well, the choice is pretty smart,
man.
I mean, one thing about people, beings, we learn how to adapt to almost anything, particularly when it involves life and death. You'll adapt, and I mean, you will adapt to it, and it will be normal for you and to those who love you.
Yeah.
It will.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to work it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to work it. Every time, I mean, I'm talking about emptying the bag because you have to hit this and pull this and do this and snap this. So Cindy's been going to, so it could be 3 o'clock in the morning, and she'll hear me like an old creep with the thing, boop. Boop, you know, me and the walker, like some old ghost. She goes, honey, yeah, what are you doing? I'm trying to. So she would come in. It doesn't matter what time it is. She would unsnap it. She would do this, take the hose out, do this, put it back, put it in there. She goes, honey, you're fine now. And then I go to sleep. I still haven't learned to do it. Every time I go to the bathroom, yeah, or empty it, she has to be here. I have to learn how to do it. But you know what? King and Sarge, you're right. You get rid of it. Get it out of your,
yeah,
body. Go on with your,
yeah,
life. Fuck that shit.
Yep.
All right, let me tell you something. Yeah. I think you're going to be okay. You know why I think you're going to be okay? Because I can tell by your attitude, your self-deprecation, that you got the right,
yeah,
way,
yeah,
to look at this. There's an absurdity to it,
yeah,
that you have accepted,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to make the most of it, and you've got exactly the right attitude to get through this. Trust me. You're doing, I mean, I can tell.
Thank you.
You're going to be just fine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Cindy got, yep, mad because I spanked her with my hose. She goes, did you just spank me,
oh,
with your pee,
wow,
hose? Yeah, I know. I'm going, maybe. How you doing, baby? She goes, stop it. She goes, you're well. Get over here, baby. I'm going to tie you up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's. I had to get it out. I don't know what my main fear is, guys. Here's my main fear, and I didn't tell nobody this, and this isn't me. I have to make an appointment today to see my doctor probably in a week. At that point, he's going to tell me my results. Now, here's part two. If I come out clean, I'm fine. If I don't, the cancer's still in me. Now, he's saying practically you're clean. Practically, you were cancer-free. But we're going to get the results next week. There's nothing more to take from me. So the next step is going to be a very dangerous step that I have to take. But the math tells me I should be okay, because the math tells me it was located here and here. They took out this and this. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
But you hear these stories. You know what I mean? It came back. It's more aggressive. It's this and this and this. You know what I mean? And then you think, well, when am I going to be in the clear? Well, you have to wait 5 years. 5 fucking years? You know what I mean?
Mm.
But so the scary part, and I'm sharing it with you guys, that's in my head. I'm not really thinking about it because I did it. I gave it all. And if it comes back dirty or it comes back, I got no more to give. I got no more. You know, I don't know if I have to go on pills just to prolong my life so I can see you guys and how long it will take me to say I can't do this anymore. But there's no more that you could take out. So, I mean, I have the best. They tell me that I got the best surgeon in Beverly Hills. I won't tell you who his name is, okay? But I'm going to call him Mr. Kwan, okay? This guy has a bigger ego than I do. And he says, not on my watch. We got it. That's what he said. We got it. That's what he said. I could only go by him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in the back of my head, I'm hearing this show. And next week, you know, I think it's going to be fine. But imagine living with the back of your head like that and for 7 days if you're going to live and die, or you're back. No matter what you did, you're back to it again. Can you imagine having that in your head? So
yeah.
I guess the moral of this story is, you know, is don't judge people for what they're going through in a store, because you have no idea if you saw me in line what I'm going through. You have no idea if you saw me getting a snow cone or an ice cream, or maybe I drive a little.
How many people
slower
do we run into it like that all day long?
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't
that
even
maybe
know.
Maybe I drive
yeah
a little slower than I should, and you're honking your horn and you're flipping me off. So the more of it, you don't know what people are going through.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And you should give them a break.
Right.
And assume that they are going through some shit.
Yep.
That maybe they can't handle before we are quickly
going
after them or anger them.
That's
so
right.
If you see me in, you know, so if you see me in line getting an ice cream, or I'm driving a little slower, or maybe I'm walking a little slower, maybe I lose my balance and you want to laugh at me, just be patient, you know, because you never know what a person is going through. We're not Jesus. We are not Jesus. When people say, well, Jesus forgave. Yeah, I'm not Jesus. That's why he's Jesus. I'm a mere mortal with flaws, with insecurities and doubts and faults. Jesus is the Savior to be better. So when I do something and you do this and you say, well, Jesus would do this. Yes, Jesus would, but I'm not Jesus. I'm not. So I'm going to make mistakes. And I'm going to do stupid things. And I'm going to act dumb. And go, what would Jesus do? I don't know what Jesus do because you cannot tell me the God of gods. What would a God do? You cannot tell me what a God. You don't know what a God would do. You're not God. You cannot tell me what Jesus will do because you are not God. I don't know what Jesus will do. But I do know one thing. If you believe in, and I don't say my religion too much, but if you believe in Jesus, you're going to need him to pull you through. That's all I got to say is you're going to need him. Even if you're an atheist or somebody else that you don't believe, you will believe when you get to that point. You're going to need him. Sooner or later, you're going to need him to pull you through. And then you'll know what Jesus can do. When he lays that hand on you and pulls you through, you'll know what Jesus can do. You won't even have any question. Right, King? So,
I think Brian, what you just said is so important. And I mean, look, believe me, I'm not trying to get political with this. But when they made those lockdowns that disconnected people from their faith by telling them they couldn't go to church and exercise their faith during a moment of crisis, that it was more important they'd be able to go to play the lottery and go to strip clubs and weed joints, but not go to church when the spiritual is almost as important to a physical recovery or to cope with any kind of stress as is the physical. I mean, that has got to be emphasized over and over again. You cannot disassociate human beings from their need for spiritual recompense and spiritual strength. You just can't do it.
Right.
It's not right. It's not right. And what you're saying proves it. Well, not proves it, but just goes to show that it's true, and it's true for mostly all of us.
Thank you. It is true, and you don't hear me speak religion and everything, and I keep my religion to my vest and close to me. But I have, the relationship that I have with God or Jesus is my personal business. You know, if I wanted to go into preaching, I would have done that. And everybody's individual has a relationship with their own spiritual choice, and that's their private choice. And thank you. But I just cannot emphasize it enough that when you go out with your day today and some lady makes a left-hand turn when it says no left-hand turn or right away or whatever, and you have to think, majority of people, 3 out of 4 people driving the streets are on medication. Think about that for a minute. 3 out of 4 people who are driving in the street to this day is on some form of medication, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's whatever it is, they are taking some form of medication. It's astounding. It's outstanding, whatever. It's astounding that we have that many people who are on medication. Thank the big pharma, whether they should be on medication or not, anxiety pills, blood pressure medicine, whatever, you know? So you do have to watch yourself and your children. But we're not assuming that they're just medicated and they're doped up. You have to assume that you don't know what people are going through, man. You really don't. I'm not the only one sitting up here telling you about this. As we speak right now, I guarantee you 10 people just got the notice that they got cancer today that they didn't have yesterday. 10 people probably went to their doctors today and just got the news that they have cancer. 20 people got the ones that they have stage 4 that they're going to die. Just the news today. So be patient. when you see somebody doing some stupid stuff, and it's not up to you to say, oh, well, you know, they're probably going through some shit, so I'm going to be patient. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, just be aware, you know, watch people. And, you know, there are some people who are just born assholes, and there's some people who are just a little bit confused, and you could watch them and say, hey, you know, you need a little help. And I could not ask for help, but I will. I'll learn. That's all. That's all. That's all. I don't know.
You're not
getting overtired.
I want to make sure you weren't getting overtired.
I don't know what I am. I don't know. I feel good. I feel good. I'm with my friends. I feel good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We always end with a stupid story. Stupid story. How about that guy in Washington who's lying to everybody that what he does, who he is, where he's about? Well, remember that guy? You know, he says he's this. He says he's you know who I'm talking about, who's lying about his background and everything. How about
George
this guy?
Santos?
Yeah. How
okay.
about this guy?
You like him?
Huh?
You like him?
Do I like him?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know what he did to me, he pulled the hypocrisy off of our country. Remember when you get a job that says don't lie on your resume? We're taught this.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get caught. Don't lie this and everything. And then when you do get caught, you are the shame of the shame, right? They're glorifying this. So what? He embellished this. We all embellished. You're not going to go to jail for lying to Congress. I mean, lying to the press. I mean, so he says that he saved puppies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what do
you mean?
Well, he's a Republican.
Oh, I tell everybody. I'm proud to tell everybody that I got a high school GED and I didn't go to college and get indoctrinated. So you ain't got to worry about that. I got a high school GED. I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
I did go to college for 3 months. I got kicked out because I fired on a professor who said I was killing babies in Vietnam, and he pissed me off.
Damn.
And I fired on him. And I got arrested. But fortunately, the campus cop that arrested me was a veteran of the fighting at Docto, and he said he got witnesses and said the guy had been poking me in the chest before I fired on him. And he said, if both of you can cross-complain each other when you go to the station. So the professor dropped the charges. I dropped the charges, and they kept me from getting a record.
Wow.
But I couldn't go back to college after that. I just couldn't. I was so sick of it, and I never bothered to go back.
I hear you. I hear you.
If you ever hear me tell you about all the college degrees, God, you'll know I'm lying, okay?
but haven't we always embellished shit? I mean, on my resume, I remember I lied on my resume. I was in college, and they had an opening for a cop, for campus police. I said, this will be fun. So I lied about, oh, sure, I worked at a probation thing and this, and had to rip some guys up, you know what I'm saying, you know, because I figured cops are cops. I got the job, and I got to drive the cop car, and I turned on the siren once in a while, and I hassled people, and I was corrupt. My job was to make sure that the people in the parking lot had permits on it. Nobody without a permit, Officer Jackson. Yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. That's your job. You stay in this booth, Officer Jackson, and you make sure nobody parks without a permit. Yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. The first girl pulled up, short mini dress. I could see her panties. She was so beautiful. She smiled, and right after the guy left. Yes, sir, 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 yes. Here she pulls up, you know, Barbie in her little Barbie car. And she says, can I park here? I go, no. You and your little Barbie mobile, you cannot park here. Oh, but I'm going to be late. I go, As her skirt is high, as she's scooting up, and her skirts are going woohoo, and her vajayjay was talking to me. Hello, Brian. Hello, Mrs. Vajayjay. How are you? Can we park here? Oh, my God, no. You know how pussy talks to you? It talked to me. It's like it knew me.
How weird.
And then,
how weird.
No, it's true. Any guy will tell you. And she goes, well, can I just go in and turn around and come out? I go, of course you can. So she went in, turned around, she comes back. She goes, darn, I saw one space open. I go, you did? She goes, yeah. I'm only going to be okay, fine. She went, she parked. She came back, she was okay. She goes, when do you get up for dinner? I go, I don't know, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, I took her in the police car. We went up to the hills, and we had sex. And it was absolutely wonderful. So I figured the benefits were great. I was supposed to watch out. Then there was a case where there was a rapist in a girl's restroom. And so, Officer Jackson, yes, sir. Well, we have a report that there's a creep going on. I go, I wasn't here all the time. Not you. Okay. Well, there's a creep. Creep in the bathroom, and get in the women's bathroom. I gave myself up. I was here all the time, not you. So I was in the bathroom, and we have a predator in a woman's restroom. Sir, yes, sir. Well, we're going to keep an eye on a woman's restroom. We're going to make our little tour and make sure we catch the son of a bitch. Okay, I'm on it. He goes away. I'm going, hey. And I get to play with the billy club because I'm twirling it around and everything. I got cheese. I got keys. I can make them jingle. Ding, 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 ding. I love it. You know, I love the keys because when I walked in back of girls, I jingled the keys and they look back going, ha-ha, in my head, made you look. This is the kind of guy that's supposed to be responsible for the campus security. Hey, look at my keys. So I would go into the woman's restroom. I have my little billy club, and I would slam it against the door. Anybody in here? And then girls are screaming, oh, my God, what's going on in there? Nothing, just doing a check, ma'am. I tell you what you're doing. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
I was the worst cop ever, Sarge. I was the worst cop ever. There you go. I know. Oh, Melissa, you would have liked me.
Cop.
Huh?
I said a definite Keystone cop, huh?
I was. Who? Who?
Yeah.
What?
Who?
Who?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a guy shooting
wrong.
Up.
Absolutely wrong.
It's wrong. And you got two of the Wong brothers does not make a right. Who? That's wrong.
Exactly.
Oh, we're
what
so inappropriate.
What was the other guy's name? Charlie Chester. He was the... the chain commander of the commercial. I was like, say that again, Sarge. What was his name? It was like all these C's in it. I was like, what the heck? Charlie Chan, Chancellor
something.
Of the Chamber of Commerce.
You can't help it. You can't help it. Why does their last name always end with Wang and Dong? You ever notice that? Dong.
Oh,
Dong
like
and Wang.
Italian people. It's either an A
like
or an
Smith
O.
Smith and Johnson,
name.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You shouldn't make fun. But there's one. We have a classic, and I'll let it go. Sarge hasn't heard it. We have a classic. Oh, I think Sarge left. No, he's there. We have a classic on the show that we play once in a while. And there's some people who are stupid, really stupid, that should not be around. And it's about this guy. We had this missing person girl. This was maybe 6 years ago. She was missing. She was missing for like 2 years. They had the missing posters all around and everything to find this girl. And this is a real case. This is a real case. Right?
You know what it is, Sarge, you hear it. Yeah, the real case. Yeah.
Okay.
These are real cases. And I'm sure Sarge has heard that. It's one of the Hammer classics. So apparently this black guy saw the girl. I guess he went to the house, and he saw the girl. And what happened next turned into a song and one of our favorites. So he sees the girl, and he calls the cops. Here it is. His name is Charles Barkley. Here it is. Wait a minute. Hold on.
All right, now let's move into some other subjects here. It's amazing how much impact.
No,
you have.
That's not it. That's not it. Charles Ramsey is the guy, right?
Yeah. Not Barkley.
Okay, now here's the actual
round
interview.
Round mound to rebound. Round mound to rebound.
Well, here's the actual interview. Here's the actual interview of Charles Ramsey. He came across the girl who's been missing for 2 or 3 years. Here's the actual interview from CNN. Listen to this.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of a house. So I go on the porch.
Okay.
I go on the porch, and she says, help me get out. I've been in here a long time. So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, call 911. My name is Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got the call of 911. And then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said,
now, and when did you see Gina?
About five.
We're good.
So, about 5 minutes after the police got here. See, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, I mean, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You sure come up, bro?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was your reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around
people. Bro, I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here.
Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time.
Either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she ran into a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMR. I'm going to send it back to you.
There you go. Eating my McDonald's.
That's one of his
that was live.
So the brother was just trying to keep it real. Is that right?
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I knew something was wrong.
He's keeping it too
real. I was eating my McDonald's. Nothing going on here. There's some more girls. So now they took that. They took that interview. And these guys are, some of these guys are so talented and everything. It's magnificent. So they put it into auto-tune, which happens to be one of the classic favorites on the Hammer Show. I love singing the auto-tune of this song. So here it is, the same interview on auto-tune. Check it out.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. So I opened the door
kick, kick the bottle. And she comes out and she says, get some more girls up in that house. Call 911 and they called him and McDonald. I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. They're giving away. They're giving away. My neighbor thought they tentacles, cause we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get it out. They're giving away.
Yeah, baby. That's one of our,
yeah, that's
one of our
bloody
favorites.
Dancing, man. Just think, a machine did that, huh?
Yeah. They did an auto-tune. Isn't that something, how they did it? You know?
Uh-huh.
Now,
yeah, and every
remember,
every phrase uttered in that thing was one he actually said in the interview, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. That is unique.
It is. Well, they started, you know, you guys remember Charlie Sheen had a breakdown. And it started with Charlie Sheen. And Charlie Sheen became the classic. I don't have, here's Charlie Sheen's song. I think you guys will remember this. Charlie Sheen, when he was going through that mental breakdown.
I want a drug called Charlie Sheen. It's not available. If you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt on. You control the meat will be your exploding body. Will be your exploding body.
You love to party.
What's not to love? The run I was on made Dagger and Richard look like droopy-eyed armless children. That's how I party. That's how I party. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. Winning. I had one gear. Go. Epic.
Are you my sponsor?
Absolute victory. I'm in a quest.
We're gonna win everywhere.
Right every single wrong.
Right every wrong.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning, come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning,
you bottle my brain and feel like, dude, can't handle it.
Win here, win there,
win everywhere.
I've got a myth. Got me so pissed. From the evergreen to the desert to green this. Chicken nugget.
Winning.
Bubblegum.
Winning.
Pretending to dance to a voice of one.
Epic. Winning.
No dance.
Winning.
No pants.
Winning.
Breaking the rules of the Geneva Convention.
Weak.
Adonis blood.
Winning.
Father's love.
Winning.
Giving needed women caresses and hugs.
Epic. Winning.
Childbirth.
Winning.
Calling first.
Winning.
Take your wicked verse.
Duh.
Winning, winning.
I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll.
Winning.
I had one gear. Go.
Epic.
Winning.
Are you my sponsor?
I'm by it.
Winning.
Win here.
Win there.
Win everywhere.
Win.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning. Come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning.
You borrow my brain and feel like, dude, can't handle it.
Win here.
Win there.
Win
everywhere.
Win.
There you go. Charlie Sheen, everybody.
That
know,
one wasn't as good.
Huh, kiddo?
That one wasn't as good as the last one.
It wasn't. We have a couple of them. But these are classics. One that I was trying to find, Melissa, but we don't have it. So we're doing a show. Sometimes news will unfold when we're doing a show. Melissa kind of keeps me under control, but then sometimes she just loses it. She just gives up, said, fuck it. So a story will come across. So it's about this guy. He was in his airplane, and he was being an asshole. So what was it? Oh, the airplane was crowded. The airplane was crowded. So the captain says, well, anybody would like to relinquish their seats, please do so. We'll give you this much money or whatever. So nobody wanted to do it. So they decided that they had to pick people to get off the plane to make room. That's the situation.
Yep.
Am I correct, Melissa?
Yeah.
So apparently this guy did not want to get off the plane, and they picked him. He's Asian.
His wife, right? Yeah.
Huh?
He and his wife.
Yeah.
Right?
No, he didn't have a wife at the time, kid. It was just him. It was just him.
Okay.
Because we're thinking he's gay, remember? We're thinking he's gay.
Oh, no. That came after. I'll fill you in.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it was him. Well, he didn't want to get off the plane. Well, they tried to escort this guy off the plane.
he started to scream like, you know, like your leg got caught in some kind of shredder. You know what I mean? A wood shredder. He screamed that horribly that you couldn't even imitate the pitch that he was screaming.
No.
You know, right?
He was screaming. He was a Vietnamese doctor. Wow. And he was, I think he was a urologist, right? But he lost his license previously after they started digging, you know, stuff up on him because he was giving out opioids to what they call lady girls, lady boys, and using them for their services. So this guy was a scumbag.
Hey, Brian, you think that's good? You ever heard the one Boo Got Shot?
Who?
No.
Boo Got Shot.
Who? Boo Got Shot?
Boo Got Shot. Yeah, it was a Neil Bortz thing he did. You know Neil Bortz?
Oh, no, I never heard of that. Never heard of that.
You want to hear it? Because I got it for you, man. It is hilarious.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. Wait, can I play this for you before we do it? Can I play this? Because this is what Melissa was – this is what Melissa and I were talking to you, Danny Godek. So can you hear this first?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Please.
Okay, here's the doctor. Here it is. This is what Melissa was saying. Here we go.
And I'm the Fertile Eye Quartet. Join us weekdays. Don't forget. Stay lifted.
No one should be treated that way. Period.
United Airlines CEO is speaking out about the disturbing video showing a passenger being dragged off a plane. 69-year-old Dr. David Dow is now world famous as the passenger yanked off the overbooked United flight. He's a lung specialist from Kentucky. The United CEO, Oscar Munoz, had first described Dow as disruptive and belligerent. But he changed his tune on Good Morning America and issued a full-fledged apology.
Do you think he's at fault in any way?
No, he can't be. He was a paying passenger sitting on our seat in our aircraft.
And new video has emerged of Dr. Dow in the moments before the altercation. He's apparently on the phone with the airline pleading his case.
I'm just going to have to work tomorrow at 8:00.
Then he makes it clear he's not giving up his seat.
No, I'm not going. I am not going.
One of the officers tells him they'll use force if needed.
Let's try to use your force. I make a lawsuit to get United Airlines.
Then an officer threatens him with jail.
I'm really going to jail. I'm not going. I'm staying right there.
That's when all hell broke loose. United CEO is promising this scene will never be repeated again.
To remove a booked, paid seating passenger, we can't do that.
Munoz said he's reached out to Dr. Dow to apologize, but has not yet spoken to him personally. Crisis management expert Richard Levick.
What should they have done?
They need...
United share price plummeted Tuesday.
An airline is a brand. So if you screw up that brand with a debacle like this one, you're going to take a hit financially.
Dr. Dow, who remains hospitalized in Chicago, told a local television station that he hurts all over. His family issued a statement saying, "The family of Dr. Dow wants the world to know that they are very appreciative of the outpouring of prayers, concern, and support they have received." Jimmy Kimmel's audience sounded like villagers with pitchforks.
What a week for United Airlines. Did they do something wrong?
Oh, my God.
Now, they had to say it. The guy sued United Airlines, and they settled with this motherfucker. What was it, Melissa? What did he say, $250 million or something like that he got?
Huge amount.
There's a huge amount that he wants. So when they're interviewing that guy from the airline, of course he's going to say, well, no, he did anything wrong. You should not be doing this. He sued his motherfucking ass. I think it was over $200 million that he got. But just
didn't
that screaming.
When they came to speak to him, did the word lawsuit come out of his mouth?
He said, I will sue you. He said, no, when a cop says, I'm going to use force, he goes, well, you use force, I will sue you. That's what he said.
Yeah. Okay.
So can you imagine that brand? But what's more important,
was the brand.
That brand, they lost in shares. They lost good $400 million on as their shares plummeted about what happened. So they had to stop the bleeding on this bullshit.
I think he was a disgusting person, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah, he's kind of shady.
He had a disgusting past.
He's kind of shady. There were some rumors about him. Mr. Sarge, go ahead quickly. What was your name?
This is a classic from the Neil Bort Show, and everybody who's ever heard it is considered one of those cult classics on radio. You got to hear this because this one is really – so when you're ready, let me know.
Ready.
Okay, here we go.
Royal, do you have the translation ready? We need to get this out of the way because I've promised everybody we're going to repeat it. I told you yesterday we were going to play Boo Got Shot on the air. Because we haven't done it for a year. It's a 10-year-old classic of the Neil Bort Show. It's a young lady in an apartment complex describing a criminal event, the shooting of Boo. Boo, by the way, did survive. Boo is probably out there earning a living now as a systems analyst for AT&T, something like that. Who knows? But once again, we're going to play Boo Got Shot, and then we're going to play Royal's translation. Royal is going to translate it for you, ladies and gentlemen, because some of you may not be able to really understand what had happened. Here we go. In the original form, Boo Got Shot. Oh, I need to... By the way, I'm sorry. We need to run the raw footage again. Do we have the rap version of Boo Got Shot anywhere? We do? Maybe we could play the rap version, too. Okay. In its raw form, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you once again the Neil Bort's radio show classic, Boo Got Shot.
She was taking real bad, Nisha. Peaches, they got shot. I said, who? She said, Boo got shot. I said, oh, my God, we just saw it. My sister had called somebody up him. She called my cousin Pumpkin to sell dope. She called her, and Pumpkin told her that she was on the phone with police. And she had left out, and she went and got in her car, and she bailed out. And when she left out, that when I heard gunshot again, when I heard gunshot and I seen some boy had running the building over that way, he ran in that building. I seen that car just flew off, and then I seen a long gun, a big old gun in the car. It's the boy.
Okay. Some of you, it occurs to me, may have a little bit of a problem understanding just exactly what Peaches is saying there.
Peaches.
Okay? So in order to help with Peaches, help Peaches to convey to our listening audience exactly what transpired on this evening, Royal now has a translation.
She's taking real bad.
It appears the young lady was trembling from nervousness.
Peaches, they got shot.
Someone has been wounded.
So who?
I inquired to who the victim was.
She said, Boo got shot.
Boo has the gunshot.
Boo got shot.
Boo has become the victim of another violent crime.
I said, oh, my God.
Oh, my.
We just saw it. My sister had called somebody up him.
My sibling telephoned another relative.
She called my cousin Pumpkin to sell.
In fact, it was my cousin Pumpkin who lives in this very same community.
She called her, and Pumpkin told her that she was on the phone with police.
Pumpkin was already on the phone with the local authorities.
And she had left out.
Already departed.
She went and got in her car, she bailed out.
She found her vehicle and put it in reverse.
And when she left out, when I heard gunshot again.
As she was departing, a shot rang out, piercing the cold night air.
And when I heard gunshot and I seen some boy had run in the building over that way.
Apparently, the perpetrator was seeking cover behind a local building.
He ran that building.
It was that building over there.
And I seen that car just flew off.
I saw the car depart with a rapid acceleration.
And then I seen a long gun.
I saw a firearm of substantial caliber.
A big old gun.
I mean substantial caliber.
If the boy was in the back, he had a big old long gun.
So, in fact, it was the gentleman in the back seat who had the firearm with the extended barrel.
So there you go there. Royal was very happy to translate this for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was a classic, and every time I hear it, I crack up. I've heard that kind of description at so many crime scenes. You have no idea. This woman, this young woman, man, I said, man, she brought back so many memories when I heard this.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't know. I've had that happen. I've had that. Something happened. We're in Compton, and there was a girl talking just like that. And I'm trying to understand what happened, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, I didn't understand what you're saying. She looked at me. She goes, you ain't from around here, are you? King, did you come across anybody like that? I mean, they could be on marijuana. They could be on drugs. You know, this something you just don't understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah, when I was living in Phoenix, I ran across a lot of people, man. I ran across one. She was from Louisiana, and it was something else.
Oh my God! When I was in Louisiana, you ain't lying. When I was in Louisiana, I was making appearances.
Oh, by the way, Brian, before you go off, I also got the rap version of that too. If you want to hear it.
Okay, let me hear it.
It's every bit as good as the one you played a little while ago with the Mr. Ramsey.
Right.
Yeah, check this one out, man. This is a hoot.
Wow.
Man, I'm telling you, man, she turned me on. I think she's sexy.
She probably could be. Wow, peaches.
Oh,
that's
man,
sweet.
I tell you, man, that's a hoot.
Everybody likes a little peach. You know,
yeah, little peaches, man. I tell you, I bet you she's sexy as hell, man. Crazy too, probably crazy. But hey, probably the kind of chick that you get hooked up with, you want to get out the next day and not see her anymore.
Exactly.
She's probably trouble.
Exactly.
I'm
but then she leaves
she
a little something
a
behind.
I mean, that could be unfair, okay, but still,
yeah.
I kind of get that. Man,
but
I'm
you don't have
you,
a name like
is...
peaches, and you're. And you work at Walmart, you know, there's certain things
yeah.
when you have a name like Peaches, either you're a stripper or you're running drugs. I don't know. I don't know.
Or both.
Anybody will name their kid. Yeah.
Or both.
Well, yeah, both. Exactly. Hey, I just got a little bit. I just want to thank you guys again. And I cannot thank you enough from the bottom of my heart for the caring, the loving, the support that y'all give me to keep me coming on the air. This is the first time I'm on the air in a couple of months, I guess. That's what Melissa said, maybe a month and a half. I don't know. I don't know if I was going to do okay. But I promise I'll get better. And we will be the number one show back again. If I'm not on the air, I am doing a formula for musicians and independent artists making money. I'm working on it very hard, so I'm not just kicking back. I am stretching my legs. I'm trying to learn how to walk, and I will be back. I will be back. And meanwhile, I will be on the air tomorrow, and I'm going to play this song for me. And I rarely play it for me, but I think this is what I need to hear. Here you go.
Well, I've been looking for you every day. Is this your first day back?
This is my first day back, yes.
Every day I've been looking for you, and lo and behold, well, what do you know?
Thank you. You'll know something's wrong. If I'm out 2 days straight, something's going on, but I'm going to tell you something. I will come back. Don't worry. Just be patient. I will be back. But I don't expect that to happen. I will be on tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about more subjects, give people something to do. But just remember, people, what we learned today, get a checkup, man. A half an hour could save the rest of your life.
That's right.
Trust me. If you don't have the right insurance, man, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're either going to go now or you're going to go later.
That's right.
It's just it. Give people the benefit of the doubt for being an idiot and stupid and being a moron. Sometimes they're just morons. And why are you going to argue with a moron? You got better sense than that. Let them do what they want to do. They want to come in front of you. Say, you know what? Cool. This is what you want to act like? Fine. You don't need that shit. People get shot from doing that bullshit. You know? People get shot by flipping somebody off in the car because you don't know who has what's going on and what's in their head and what they're on. So just let people be who they are, and they act like a jerk. Let them be the jerk. They're not in your life, right? But the thing about it is keeping yourself out of the fray. That's the name of the subject, is keeping yourself away, surviving, and not welcoming it. Cindy has a habit of punching people in the face. She has. She has this false thing, right? I'm a tough guy, right? I'm 6'1", I'm 245. If you look at me, I'm kind of imposing. All I wanted was a donut. Some guy pulls up. Cindy goes, that's our space. Cindy, that's not our space. We don't rent from here. Hey, you can't. There were four guys in a car. And I'm saying, don't. The true story. I say, no. She goes, she gets out of the passenger side. You guys, that's our space. And some guy comes up there saying, I don't see your name on it. He goes, you don't have to see my name. And Cindy goes, you don't have to see my name on it, motherfucker. She goes, what? And I go, what? And I go, shit. At this point, I'm in the car. She's flapping her gums. The guy's getting agitated. And I think the word bitch came out of his mouth. I'm in the car. What am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Why am I in this mess? I just wanted a donut. Guy used the word bitch. I go, oh, damn, that's my cue. I just wanted a jelly donut. Because the guy go, bitch, you better get in the car. She goes, you calling me a bitch? Get in the car. You going to tell me? I go, uh-oh. Somebody's about to get hurt up in the bitch. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
I go, baby, please. I just want a donut. He took our space and everything's not our space. And I let him get away with it. And he called me a bitch. I go, well, you act like a what? Okay, I'd rather fight him than her. She could kick my ass. Because I'm not dealing with this the rest of the night. You know what I mean? Any guy who's married, have a girlfriend, you know what I mean. I am not dealing with this for the rest of the night, for the rest of the tomorrow. Right, King? Right, Sarge? Come on. Come on.
Wow.
You're here.
Yep.
You know, him, it's like, okay, he punches me. I lay down for a couple of minutes. He goes away. I get a donut. Gone. You know?
Hmm.
At least I'm okay. But I'm not dealing with this. Like, why didn't you protect me? How come you didn't do this? How come I didn't want to deal with that. That was worse than getting punched in the face. So I said, I have to do some dramatic effect. There's four of them. I'm not kidding you. It's all a true story. I slowly get out of the car like I'm Clint Eastwood. He has a horse. I got a car. Slowly. Not too fast. You know, I'm not like Pee Wee Herman, but I slowly get out of the car. The guy on the passenger side who's arguing with Cindy sees me. He shuts up. Then there's another guy bigger than me, slowly gets out of his car, and he's the passenger. And I go, oh, shit.
No.
And so the guy, the passenger, says to me, you got a problem? So I have to say something brilliant. I said, baby, I'll take care of this. That's right, that man, take care of this. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, I'm thinking, he hits me quick. I hit the ground. I get a donut. I get home. Go home. I'll make sure I turn my head so he hits me in the back of the head. There you go, motherfucker. Break your knuckles. I slowly get out of the car. I go, yeah, I got a problem. You called my woman a bitch. He goes, I didn't call your woman a bitch. He called your woman a bitch. Oh, he called him. Then I got a problem with you, with him. Then you got, and he's up to saying, well, you got a problem with him. You got a problem with me. Oh, do I got a problem with you? And it is you're prolonging this talk. You know what I'm talking about, Sarge. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, King. You're prolonging this conversation. Oh, I got a problem with you now? I got a problem with you now? I got a problem with you? you're prolonging this thing, right?
Talking to me?
Yeah, talking to me? It's one of those things. You're hoping somebody in a parking lot going, oh, stop this stuff. Niggas talking. There's going to be some shooting. You know, you're hoping somebody comes by. You know, some old lady. Oh, my God, they're going to kill each other. You know what I mean? You get in your car and you go, it didn't happen. I said, all right, you got a problem with me. He goes, yeah, you got a problem with me. I slam my door. I go, we got a problem. He slams his door. Yeah, we got a motherfucking problem. But he slammed his door louder than I slammed my door. I opened my door and I slammed it more. He did that. Whoa. Yeah. And I started walking towards him. And he's standing by his car. Now, I don't know if they have a gun. Meanwhile, the other guy shut his mouth and went in the car, the passenger's car. I don't know if these guys had guns or what. You know what I'm saying? So I get to the driver's thing. He's still standing by the door. I can't move anymore, or else I'm going to kiss him. That's how close we were. I said, make your move. Go ahead. And he says, we don't need to do that. I go, what do you mean we don't need to? I know I had him. And then I start getting loud. What do you mean we don't need to do that? And then everybody knows. In the parking lot. What do you mean we don't need to do that?
Wow.
King knows what I'm talking about. Sarge knows what I'm talking about, right? You're acting a fool. He goes, we can just solve this right now because where I live, cops don't play. You know what I'm saying? The last thing I need is some white cop coming around wanting to bust a couple of niggas' heads. You know what I'm saying? They didn't need that. So he says, we don't need to do this. I said, all right, we don't need to. Of course we don't need to do this. Now, we can stop this shit if he apologizes to my lady. Lady, get out of the car. And that guy goes, I'm sorry. That's right. You're making noise like crazy. It's like some
that's
idiot.
Funny.
Like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
That's
goes,
right. We
next
got
time. Yeah, like Barney Fife with Annie Mayberry. You don't work by bullet.
Yeah.
You go, all right. I don't see anything. It's all right, man. You know, we're shaking hands. We're hitting there. Good to meet you, man. All right, bro. Take care of you. I like you, bro. I like you too, bro. Thanks, good to you. You know, you be safe. Hey, you. And then the guy with the passenger seat said, hey, you shut the fuck up. You. I'm still mad at you. Get the fuck in the car. The guy gets in the car. All right, man. Take care of you later. And we got the donut left. That's how it was. That's true.
Oh, my.
As soon as he says, we don't need to do this, you get all loud and shit. You got it right. We don't need to do this. Everybody,
yeah.
You hear it? I'm a badass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got the donut and ran out of there as quick as I can.
I wonder.
So, I know. Have you ever, I'm sure, Sarge, I'm sure, King, at one time or another, you guys have been in that situation, right? All guys have been in that situation. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody put you in that situation, where they're forcing you to do something you really don't want to do, or put you in trouble that you don't want to be in?
That's
you know?
Exactly what happened to me one time. I haven't told you about it, but I got, here in Georgia, I got arrested for having to do exactly that when I had to defend myself against a nut.
Right.
And you know, I was minding my own business, you know, eating in a restaurant, and, you know,
you
the guy comes in, he's got a nice-looking girlfriend. And,
right.
I mean, she dressed to catch your eye. And me being
right.
the essential male that I am, I mean, I did look at
right.
her. I didn't gawk, but I looked. Like many of the other men in the restaurant were looking at her.
Right.
And for some reason, he locked onto me and took offense.
Ooh.
And I told him, man, look, I'm not trying to offend you or nothing, man. You know, like, hey, you know, I mean, she was just there. I looked for a moment, and then I looked away, which was pretty much what
right.
I did.
Right.
But, man, he got all revved up out of shape. Man, are you disrespecting me and my girlfriend? And I could see it was something wrong with this guy. He was tweaked on something. I could tell.
Right.
I got up. I said, look, man, I don't want no trouble. I'll tell you what, I'm just about finished eating anyway. Let me just go because I already left the money on the plate, you know, because I'm getting ready to leave anyway.
Mm. Right.
I get up. I'm trying to walk out. He's blocking the exits. So I go around the other way, try to get out of the way. He's still blocking the exits. And I see right now, I said, man, he got me cornered. I ain't got much choice. I'm cornered now. And I said to myself, now, I am going to have to deal with this guy. He's going to yield to let me out. Or I had to be prepared to disable him right away because, you know, like, he's a fairly big guy. And even though I'm pretty capable of handling myself, I said, you know, I don't know, he may have got 20 years on me, 20 years younger on me. So I don't want to let this be no prolonged situation. So I had my back to the table. There was a napkin holder. You know those metal napkin holders? They got that flat. It was empty. So I put my hand behind my back, reached back to where the napkin holder was, got a hold of it, and waited for him to make a move. When I saw a shoulder dip, I wouldn't have an overhand with that napkin holder and whacked him in the head and opened up his head.
Wow.
And he went down to get a gash in his head.
Right.
And now I was at my concealed carry permit. I was carrying my 9mm. He looked at it and shoot him. But I ended up with that, you know, and then they called the cops, you know, the cops came. And the cop arrested me and said I went too far.
Wow.
I said, wait, what do you mean I went too far? This guy, clearly he was going to take a shot at me. And I'm trying to avoid this. And he arrested me and they charged me an aggravated battery. Now, you know what? I had to get a lawyer. I had to pay like $4,500 or so.
Damn.
Pre-trial motions, get depositions from the witnesses in the restaurant, and in the pre-trial motion, the judge agreed with my lawyer and dropped the charges, threw the case out. But it cost me almost $4,000.
But you were out of $4,000. See, that's what gets me.
And, you know,
the money you had to pay.
But they arrested us both. The dude got charged with assault because he didn't hit me. It wasn't bad, but it was assault. But later on, he actually, as part of his, he offered to the judge that he would write a letter of apology to me because he was high. He'd been doing meth. Crystal meth.
Right.
And he was high. He wrote a letter of apology to me later. It means I'm out $4,000. Now I'm thinking about suing him for my $4,000. I said, no, it's $4,000. Just forget it. Just drop the whole damn stupid thing.
Exactly. See, that's what
really
gets
irritated me, man. The last time I've been arrested was when I had that professor I had to hit who was poking me in the chest. That was the last time I got arrested.
Wow.
And he looked,
but see, that's what
I had this 9mm on me, man. You know, when I got when
then
got
you would have been up for you would have been up for murder, and you would not be on this
said,
show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, when the cop arrested me, he said, "You got a gun?" I said, "Yeah, I got a gun." Said, "I didn't shoot him, did I?"
Yeah.
So he took the gun. No,
damn.
No, and then he saw that I had not only had I had a concealed carry permit, but I had my Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act concealed carry permit, which comes from, you know, from the federal law. It's issued to the states.
Right.
And I had both of them. He said, "Are you a cop?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a retired cop." He said, "Well, he's already got me locked up and all. He realized he shouldn't have arrested me anyway. But, you know, now he figures he's got to carry it all the way through."
See, that's the thing. The
so
money,
believe
the fines,
I know what
that.
You're talking about when someone puts you in a situation like that. And then I got to pay thousands of dollars to get myself out of it.
Right. See, that's what hurts. That you know, when people go, "Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get a lawyer." Okay, get a lawyer. You know how much that lawyer's going to cost you? Like $4,000, $5,000. For what? For a thing that we talk about $49 for a fender? That's what gets to me.
Yeah.
Well, and I know, see, King,
and
I don't know
the guy
what King did.
And other people in the restaurant were telling him, "Well, look, the man was trying to get away from him. He was trying to walk away,
right.
And he kept blocking the exits every time he tried to go out the door."
Right. Doesn't matter.
And,
that force doesn't matter.
All he had to do was talk to all the witnesses in the restaurant.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I've been in situations. Doesn't matter.
You got hard-headed cop. You got him lying on the floor with his head bashed open. Oh, you didn't have to do that, did you? Oh, yeah, did.
Yeah. That's all that matters. I've been in situations where a girl would be hitting on me. She was throwing rocks at me. I'm not kidding you. I'm going down. The cops came up when she was throwing rocks. I think she hit him with a rock. And they still blame me for saying, "Well, you know, you aggravated her." I mean, it doesn't matter. And see, King, I know that you went through, it seemed like King went through a nice divorce because he doesn't talk about his ex. He doesn't talk about his ex. So either he's the nicest man on this planet or the perfect gentleman that he doesn't say mean things about his ex. I think he's the only one. But he doesn't say anything mean. You know? Sometimes he'll talk about he has to deal with her, but I have not heard him say anything that's really ferocious about his ex. So he must be a good guy. Right, King?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, all I can say is this much. If it's at all possible, just walk away from him again. But like I said, this guy didn't give me no choice.
You got to.
Yep.
You got to.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen in that kind of conversation, man, when you get in the street, these street beefs. It's always best to try to get out of it, honestly.
You got to. You got to. Especially if you have kids around.
And
there are some people with fools who act a fool because there's kids going, "Well, I ain't no punk. And I'm showing my kids I ain't no punk. And I'm going to stand up to this motherfucker."
Yeah, right.
You
know, right.
And what are you showing your children, man?
Man,
it's this
puffed up, inflated. And then, like I said, he had the drug factor in there. I don't know, telling what these dummies are going to do. There's always that trust in yourself in a situation without directly confronting somebody. Always.
Just use your common sense.
And like
just
I said, he looked at his shooting. I was seriously considering for a little while.
I'm glad you didn't shoot him. Then you wouldn't be on the show. Then you'd be sitting there in prison calling me collect. And I've had people do that before. Call from charge.
You know, that depends upon what level of threat you might have done. But seeing as how I got arrested for just whacking him over the head with the napkin holder, I guess he might have tried to put me up for the death penalty or something.
Well, you know what? I'm glad it ended the way it did. I'm glad all y'all are here. I want to thank you again. I cannot thank you enough. There's a song I'm going to put to myself that I usually don't put myself, that I give it to other people. But I feel close to you guys. I'm back. And I will see you guys tomorrow.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back again, and what could ever lead you
back here?